Welcome back, everybody. It's 10:15. As I promised, we're beginning. So I'm going to go ask you guys all to find your seats and discontinue the conversations. We're going to open up the public comment for this item. All right, folks. I got a mean gavel hand. Come on, let's go. Have a seat. Cease conversations. We're getting the party started. Thanks, everybody. We're going to reconvene the hearing. All right, for the first part of public comment, which is where we are, I'm going to invite the Councilman David Ruse's office, represented by Sarah Dussault, to take as much time as she wants to kick off the public comment period with the thoughts and concerns and issues that the Councilman wants to raise. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Commissioner Commissioner President. Lots of titles. So my name is Sarah Dussault. I'm the Chief of Staff to Councilmember David Ruse, and along with Julia Duncan, I'm here on his behalf. We are supportive of an amazing project on this site, but we believe there is much work to be done, and we are offering some facts for your consideration. In particular, I want to talk about some of the big picture issues on this project in this case, and then touch on some of the specific concerns. We respectfully disagree with the staff report and request that you consider all of the evidence in this case and conclude that there's not sufficient support for the request to triple the FAR and to build a 234-foot and 174-foot tower, and that you reduce those two requests. The premise of this application is the local application of state law, SB 1818. This is the density bonus law. It's an area of the law that I actually have some personal familiarity, and while I'm not an expert in some of the other issues that we're talking about today, I am an expert in affordable housing. And when I was policy director for Mayor Eric Garcetti, when he was on the city council and a city council president, he worked closely on this issue. The mayor has strong opinions about the need for affordable housing, and last year signed an executive directive to prioritize affordable housing to build 15,000 units by 2021. I bring this up because SB 1818 is one of the tools used to provide affordable housing, and how it's applied in this case really matters. If we don't set common sense standards that set the boundaries of that discussion, we won't get to 1,000 units, and we certainly won't get to 15,000. SB 1818 is fairly basic in concept. You, the developer or applicant, include affordable units into your housing development, and you shall receive a 35% density bonus, and potentially other incentives if you request them, like in this case, the FAR that they're requesting. Let's question the basic math of this application. They are providing 28 very low-income units in exchange for a tripling of the FAR. I want you to think about what that means in the context of your charge to get to 15,000 affordable housing units. I won't go into the concept of on-menu and off-menu, which is how the law applies in our city, because their request is entirely off-menu. It's a request, as I said, more than one occasion, to triple from 3 to 1, without a zone change or any other variances that might have triggered discretionary approvals or development agreements or other public processes. They did this intentionally. I get it. Edgar, their lawyer, is very persuasive on their behalf, and it's awesome. They're entrepreneurs. They're trying to maximize their profits. Given the concern today with overdevelopment and other concerns about zone changes and general plan amendments, it was genius to go this route. So that's awesome. More developers will be going this route. But that means the charge is on you to make sure that this route is applied fairly. They and you guys need to look at this with the same zeal that they're looking at it from their perspective. So let me speak for a minute on behalf of the folks who are not here. And actually, I'm sure there are some folks who are here who are hoping to get one of those very low-income units. But there are thousands more who are not. And the reality is, if we're not really careful with our treasure, and our treasure is our zoning ability, if we're not really careful with that, we will not be able to accommodate what has become a crisis in our city. So that's what we're asking of you. Now, we actually agree with their lawyer about how this standard is applied. He's right. The burden is on you. The burden is on the commission, and the burden is on the city to say there is substantial evidence to deny this request because they're asking for something above and beyond what they need to provide the affordable housing units. So we're making clear that you have that evidence to make that determination and to reduce their request. Now, some of that evidence is already provided in the materials that they submitted. So they submitted to you what's called a financial feasibility study. So in that study, I don't know if you've looked at it. It was updated a couple of different times. The most recent one is June 29, 2016. So in this study that they've provided to you, there's a pro forma of the project. In the pro forma that they have provided, they are looking at making a 15.9% profit on this project. Now, this is the analysis that their third-party expert provided. And let me tell you, they included a very generous view of the costs of this project. So they included the hiring of an iconic architect. They included the hiring of high-wage labor. They included all of the costs that could potentially be involved in this project. Then they looked at that in comparison with the potential rents or income from this project. Now, they did some, you know, comparisons that could be fair, but quite honestly, I would absolutely love to be first in line to get the first condo for sale at the price that they thought it might go for. I believe that we're looking at a property that will be attractive to billionaires and not just millionaires. So their cost calculations were quite conservative, in my opinion. But that being said, take everything that they said as absolutely true. They're still making a 15.9% profit, which is actually far above the market standard of analysis at 12.5%. Now, I get, usually council office doesn't come up and get this into the weeds. But the reason I'm doing this is because I and the council member understand this law. You need to look at this evidence and actually take this in and make this analysis. We actually require pro formas to be submitted because the only way the city can deny is if they have substantial evidence. So what if tomorrow somebody comes in and wants 12 to 1? What if tomorrow somebody comes in and wants something else that you want to deny? We have to start making this evidence available to you so you can make that determination. The only reason you have submitted to you, we have pro formas that we submitted that analyze other options going down to as low as a 2-to-1 FAR. The only reason this is submitted to you is because we took the initiative and hired someone. I don't really know of a council office in any other circumstance doing that. This kind of data should be analyzed by the department in conjunction with the housing department every single time somebody wants to use SB 1818. And we implore you to look at a policy that requires that type of analysis so that you have the tools to make the best decision possible. But I'm telling you that under the law, we're giving you plenty of evidence if that's what you would like to do. And we want you to consider all of the evidence in this case. But let's say that under SB 1818, you don't want to find that. I will mention that, say you don't want to find that. Sorry, I have to go to my other notes. Say that you are just concerned about the height and FAR in the context of the findings that you have to find in this case under the site plan review. That's why we submitted this document. So you guys all should have this document that has some pictures of the neighborhood and sort of goes through a summary on the issue of height and FAR. I'll let you take a look at that. So the project as requested is looking at 15 stories and 11 stories. It's 234 feet and 174 feet respectively. Now, we disagree with the evidence that was provided in the staff report. And we think we should have a dialogue about really what is this neighborhood. You'll hear from people today who are confused why the St. James Hotel is included in that analysis, since that's pretty far into West Hollywood, under another jurisdiction, having absolutely nothing to do with relating to this property. So there are a variety of properties that the planning department looked at in terms of stories and height that we just really don't think are in this neighborhood. And we call to your attention the actual law that you guys have to look at under site plan review findings. It says that it has to be in substantial conformance with the general plan, as well as compatible with existing or future development on adjacent or neighboring properties. So what are the adjacent properties, and why were those not analyzed? What are the immediately neighboring properties, and why were those not included in this analysis? So if you look at those and you really take time to take this in, there's a Trader Joe's at 8000 Sunset. It's maybe 4 to 5 stories at a height of about 50 to 60 feet. There's the Directors Guild just down the street. It's about 78 feet. Just northwest, you've got Chateau Marmont at about 7 stories. I'm not aware of the building referred to in the staff report as 10 stories. I don't know which site that is. But most of the surrounding commercial sites have that delimitation that some of the appellants were telling you about. And that delimitation means that the FAR is limited to 1:1. So while there's not a height restriction on this property, there is a limitation on the FAR. Well, what's cool about that is then you can have the ability for great architecture because they can go up, but they have to do it within the limitation of the FAR. So what this is really about is that request to go from 1:1 to 3:1. And what you need to look at is whether there is evidence that that is consistent with both the general plan and also a part of the overall fabric of that immediate adjacent neighborhood. We do not understand, well, actually we do understand. We understand why they didn't request a zone change, but we don't understand why it wasn't required. So we get why they went this route. And we just want to make sure that you guys have all the evidence you need to make a really fair decision because of the precedent that this is going to set. There's a lot of good things about this project, obviously, an iconic architect, great high-paying jobs, sustainably built, affordable housing, good parking. But we want to make sure that we're not giving the milk away for free. This is a lot to ask. A 3:1 FAR is a lot. And we don't want this potential of an iconic structure to distract you from some of the work that you need to do today. The last thing I wanted to add is that the developers have done a lot of work, their team, to reach out to the community, and you're going to hear from some of those folks today. And that's awesome. But what they haven't done is engage the dissenters. And as we're seeing right now on the national stage, I sure believe that Hillary wishes she engaged the dissenters earlier on. I sure believe that every Republican candidate sure wishes they took seriously the dissenting voice that is personified in Trump. And the reality is when you gauge the dissenters early, you can make your project better. Now, they did it in one case. They did it with respect to the view corridor. And the council member gets that, and that's amazing. But then they stop there. He is a unique person, and he is, Councilmember Rue is open to dialogue. You don't stop at one point. You keep talking. Let me give you a specific example of why that's a problem in this case. They didn't keep talking, and on the pedestrian corridor on Sunset Boulevard, it narrows to 12 feet. Now, you guys are the planning experts, planning staff here, they're the experts. That is not consistent with the mobility plan that you all passed. We want 15 feet. That could have easily been fixed. But I want to be clear, that work has not been done. the kind of work that you should expect prior to an applicant coming to your hearing has not been done. And that's why we are requesting that you reduce their request and that you consider all of the evidence.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Dussault. That was the kickoff of the public hearing, so I'm going to continue with the public hearing. And those who have filled out a speaker card are going to be able to speak. Your comments will be limited to a minute. A couple thoughts as we get that going. I want to ensure that... Yes, thank you. Appreciate that. I want to ensure the tone stays friendly. Direct your comments at council. Please, council. Don't do that. Direct them at the commission. You can speak to us. I'd appreciate if we continue to not denigrate staff. That hasn't happened yet. I'm delighted that. But I'd appreciate that. It's not persuasive to this body. And the other thing I would just share with all of you is the repetition, you hear it too. It's fine. It's your minute to say whatever you'd like. But if you want to agree with the previous speaker, that's fine. If you want to focus on a unique item or issue, that's also very helpful for us to hear your thoughts instead of hearing the same thing again and again. But, of course, it's your time to use as you see fit. With that, the first part I'm going to look at is if there are any official neighborhood council resolutions. Have there been any submitted, James, on this item?
None submitted.
I think we have one from the Hollywood Hills West Neighborhood Council.
We do.
All right, hold on one sec.
My name is Oren Feldman. I'm the vice president of the Hollywood Hills West Neighborhood Council.
Oren, you're gonna have the moment, but hold on one sec. James, I'm going to let this proceed, and then you guys can figure out this after the fact. Okay, great.
A copy of what went in, and it's in there in the council file as well.
Okay, Oren, hold on. This is WeHo.
Thank you.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you give your comments. Oren, I'm going to put 8 minutes on the clock.
Thank you.
And after the fact, someone's going to provide me a copy. Oren?
Right now, you've got
awesome.
The copy.
Awesome. I'm not going to read it while you talk.
That's ahead. All right. Thank you, David, or Commissioner President. For those of you who don't know, David was a resident of this neighborhood when he first started and ran to represent this little portion
and I lost.
Of our neighborhood council. Unfortunately, he lost, but we became friends in the spirit of full disclosure. In mid-June, on June 15th, our Neighborhood Council Board voted unanimously, 16-0, to support Councilman Ryu's position, which was announced initially in a generalized letter and has led to Sarah's presentation. I believe we would still support the details and analysis that she just shared with you. Specifically, we think that this proposed project, while better than the original version of it, needs further revision and work, and we oppose it. We asked that you actually not certify and approve the DEIR. It's out of scale, it's too high, it's too massive with any part of the neighbor of the surrounding neighborhood. It's the largest, it would be the largest building from downtown to the sea. It's enormously out of size and scale with this neighborhood and with anything else that's there. Sarah mentioned that more work needed to be done and that the parking was great. What she would then go on to tell you is what we've been saying, which is that the traffic plan doesn't work. It hasn't been refined and improved since the initial application. It needed to be. It still needs much more work. The island is an important turn as it exists currently. It's an F intersection, the most dangerous rating the city has. We've had people who've been hit in it just walking across the street. It's a nightmare. That's why it's an F. This project not only doesn't improve it, it makes it worse, because the major entrance and exit will be mid-block on Crescent Heights across from the Trader Joe's exit. Right now, there's no light being proposed there. There needs to be. They're proposing left-hand turns to go north on Crescent Heights. It's not going to work. It's just going to make the intersection worse than ever. And it's going to move the site of the problems a little further south, but it's also going to heighten the problems in the existing intersection. This project could be great. It's been improved since its first iteration, but it isn't there yet. The FAR was a land grab. We get it. There's no height restriction here, but there is an FAR restriction, and there is something called compatibility with the rest of the neighborhood. This project just fails to do so. As beautiful as it is, and as much as I've enjoyed my time with Mr. Geary, this project doesn't work for the site, for the community. And that's what you need to decide, and you have a lot of evidence to say that it isn't worth it, just for 28 affordable housing units. You should be getting better community benefits and more community benefits. And if you want to get to 15,000 units, you'd have to build several hundreds of these projects. And this is an ultra-rich project. Now, I'm all in favor of the ultra-rich having great housing, but really, just for 28 units? We can do better than that, and we should. Thank you.
Thanks, Oren. I appreciate the applause, even if it's like a Democratic convention. You kind of know who's going to applaud at what and who's not going to applaud at something else. It's really not evocative or helpful. So if we could just reply or refrain from doing that, we have hundreds of people who want to speak. And every time you take that time to do that, I will make this announcement, which is very fun for all of us. So please refrain from that. Also, booing and things of that nature are not helpful. Let's keep it like a what we saw last night. Let's disagree without being disagreeable. On that note, let's call up some speakers. You're each going to have a minute. I'm going to mix it up here so we get a diversity of perspectives while we listen and have our rapt attention. I'm going to call speakers up. You'll have a minute once you identify yourself by your name. With that, I'm going to call five speakers up at a time or more. So please come on up and begin to address us as soon as you get to the microphone. Are we ready? We're working on the AC.
He's here now.
Just so you know. One vote. All right. Can I have Amanda Hyde, Nicole Shahanian? Edgar, you're in general comments. I'm going to go ahead and take you out of that. David Crook. And I'm going to go with somebody, Jay something Ziff. And Yvonne Albooster. Go ahead. Come on up and tell us your thoughts. Are you Amanda?
I am.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Amanda Hyde. And I am a renter in a rent-controlled unit, and I live within walking distance of 8150 Sunset. I am right on the border of Los Angeles, just like the proposed project. I'm a small business owner, and my commute involves going past this proposed site. I will be impacted directly by this project, and I couldn't support it more. I'd like to make a request. Will everyone in the room who supports this project please stand up? I go to city meetings often, and it's always the same roll call of complaints. Traffic, height, density. We are in the middle of a housing crisis, and our only choice is to resolve this problem is by building up. I think this project is a dynamic, creative piece of art that helps supply a desperate demand. As a renter, there is such a large portion of Los Angeles that is renters, and we don't... Oh, Lord. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a good one.
It's David, not. Can we have Leo Walensky join the line? Go ahead, Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning. Nicole Shahanian with the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce. I'm here to urge your strong support for this project. While Hollywood continues to experience a renaissance, we are so pleased to see such a high-quality project as this continue that momentum, bringing good construction jobs to our community and providing badly needed housing for those living and working in Hollywood. The Chamber advocates for top-notch design, which is why we were so thrilled when Frank Geary was announced as the architect for the 8150 Sunset project. Befitting of the home of the entertainment industry and the most creative people on the planet, this project's design will give Hollywood a new architectural landmark. The elevation of the design for this project will not only have a positive aesthetic impact on Hollywood, but it also means an additional investment of over $100 million above the original proposal. Above and beyond the architecture of the project, the development will be replacing a poorly planned strip mall with a residential project. This is absolutely an appropriate use for the site. We believe this is a terrific project and definitely urge your support. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. Tyler, I'm going to go with Siegel.
So, Mr. Chair, we had members of the applicant team, including Tyler, Jay Ziff, and Crook that you called out, submit
Cheryl
speaker
Roberts.
Cards. But they're not going to be speaking unless there's a question. Thank you.
Thanks. Cheryl Roberts is one of them, or no? If not, Cheryl, come join the line. Come on up, sir. You're next. And, folks, don't be shy. If you're in front of that mic, walk right up to it. Look forward to hearing you. Okay. Go ahead.
Eben Alabaster, resident of West Hollywood. I own a building on the 1300 block of Havenhurst. I'd like to make it short. The developer purchased the property with full knowledge of its limitations. Also, they say it's 16 or 17 stories. It's 234 feet. That translates to over 21 stories. Also, this model is deceptive. They have the single-family residence in the hills that look like office buildings, and I own two properties on Havenhurst. They're both one stories, and according to this model, they look like they're five or six stories. So if you've been taking this model as an actual model of what it should look like, it's totally deceptive, and it doesn't even show the strip properly. So ignore the model, because I could go to you if you want me, and I can point out the properties that are a lot shorter, a lot smaller than what they're depicted, and that means that the impact of the new building would be greater. I'm not against development. I'm just against the size.
Thank you. Danielle Mead and Valerie Keegan, please join the queue. Good morning, sir.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Leo Walensky. I'm a longtime resident of this neighborhood. And among many responsibilities that you all have is to create beautiful spaces for all of us to live and work and play here. Besides the convenient shopping and the low-income housing, a critical thing is that the open space is going to provide and the walkability for the Sunset Strip, which it sorely needs. I'm an L.A. native. I've lived in walking distance from the project for 17 years. Since I was a child, the Sunset Strip has always been a place of glamour and a show place for the city. The economics dictate that eventually this project or this site is going to be redeveloped. Why not do it well, as this project is? Also, if you reject this project, you'll not be solving the problems of traffic. That needs a comprehensive study in itself. So I don't see how that would help us at all. So please don't pass the chance up to give this gift, not just for the neighborhood, but for Angelenos for decades to come.
Thank you. Sherilyn Smith, please join the line. Go right ahead. Come on up. Whoever's next, folks. If you're standing there, you're next. Whoever's next. That's you. You're there.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Cheryl Dudley Roberts with the LA Conservancy Modern Committee. And we support the preservation of mid-century buildings. We don't object to the project. We don't really have an objection to that, but our specific concern is saving the Lytton Chase Bank, which is located in the corner there. It's a very low-rise building. And it was built as the flagship of Lytton Banks, chosen by Lytton himself. Kurt Meyer is an extremely important architect, and it was chosen to, what they wanted to do was rival all the home savings buildings that were built about the same time. And we know that Frank Gehry wants to have his signature look over the whole building, but we think that saving this very iconic and beautiful building, it's got the googie look, which is fading. We don't see very many of them around, and we really want them. We want the building preserved as part of the project, and that's our main concern.
Thank you. James DeSullivan, please join the line, and Kathy Fogle as well. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Danielle Mead. I live on Laurel Avenue, which is one block northeast of the project site. My primary concern is with the height and the scale of this project. I do have some traffic concerns, but those have been already represented. If you look at this model, it's definitely not to scale, as the previous person mentioned. I can identify my apartment building on there, a condo building, and the height of the project would actually be 2 to 3 times taller if it was actually accurately represented on there. You know, this is a residential neighborhood. It's people walking dogs, people with strollers. We are not the Sunset Strip. The Sunset Strip and the tall buildings don't start for about a mile west of us. This is really 2 to 3 story buildings, lots of families, very residential, historic, and this project is just not appropriate. I would like to see that area developed. I would like to see a better project, something that is really neighborhood serving and does provide services we need, but I just don't think this is it.
You don't go to Hyde.
I do not go to Hyde, but I use the Trader Joe's
right
all the time. I'm there three, four times a week. And
Barmont,
I go there.
I'm just saying. There's a few nightclubs there. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Valerie Keegan. I live in historic Spalding Square, approximately 1,800 feet from the project site. This is not a regional center, and it's not an employment center. And the bus stop that they're trying to get to barely has enough sidewalk to walk down and does not run at night, on holidays, or the weekends. You will have a local bus running on Sunset, but if you come out after 11, 10 p.m., you're going to wait over an hour for that bus. We see a lot of... I'm not opposed to development. I support affordable housing, just to be clear with that. But 230 to 240 feet in this neighborhood is completely out of character with the scale of the neighborhood. 350 to 400 cars trying to cram and jam in and out of Crescent Heights, one single driveway. If you haven't already been on Crescent Heights or coming down Laurel Canyon in the past few years, you should. Staff said that they've thoroughly reviewed the file. We see that the LADOT letter was old and reviewed the wrong project, but so did the LAFD. And this is really important. This is directly adjacent to a high fire severity area. Please go back in and look at this.
Thank you. Could I please ask Shannon Paycar and Sarah Gershfield with excellent penmanship to join the line? And I'm sure we're working on the air conditioning, right? I know it's controlled downtown to preserve energy, but...
Yes, we have a tech on site right now.
Excellent. It's getting hot in here. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Smith, and I live in the area. I support building, but not this development. It's just too high and out of character for the neighborhood, has already been mentioned. The traffic studies are bad. Regarding the buses, they're not reliable day or night. I used to take them, and they're not reliable. You could wait 2 hours. And also, in an article that I read, Mr. Gary said he had no reference to the Garden of Allah when he built this. And then again, he said he went there as a child. So I'm a little dismayed at that, why there was no reference. And maybe it's possible he didn't design this building. Somebody took one of his projects and did so. And I'm concerned about emergency services as well. And that's a very big concern in our area because we have all the hills. Thank you.
Thank you. Allison Reagan, Mickey Jackson, and Robert Smith, please join the line.
Forgive me, my hearing. James O'Sullivan, I'm the president of Miracle Mile Residential Association. I'm also vice president of Fix the City. I want to thank the council office. I want to thank the neighborhood council for showing up. That was much more than I could have hoped for. Somebody mentioned that our appeal was frivolous. Those of you who know who Fix the City is know we don't do things frivolously. We did not file a lawsuit to back up this commission's decision on Catalina frivolously. We did not file a lawsuit against the Hollywood Community Plan, which we won frivolously. But we don't always file suits. The Motion Picture Academy, we were able to come to a compromise decision. So there's nothing frivolous about what we do, and none of us get paid. We work for fun and for free. I spent 2 months trying to decipher this application. It is the hardest, most convoluted thing I've ever seen. So anyway, I guarantee you, we don't do it frivolously, but we are prepared to litigate. Thank you.
Can we have Wayne, M-A-R, and it ends in Stein. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Sharon Paycar. I'm a clinical social worker. I work with the homeless population, and I've witnessed firsthand the housing crisis and mental health crisis in our community. I think it would be a real shame to lose these low-income housing units, so I support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Josh Markman, please join the line. Whoever's next, please come on up.
Mickey Jackson. I'm with Coalition to Preserve LA. We are the people who are putting the ballot initiative, Neighborhood Integrity Initiative, on the ballot for March. I believe indirectly some of the issues that are here have to do with that initiative, which is people trying desperately to avoid, whether legally or illegally, asking for zone changes because they are often not legal, and that is something our initiative addresses. It asks that the process be followed properly. It puts teeth into following that process. It affects only about 5% of the mega development in this city. I could not concur with everyone who has pointed out that trying to build a house of cards of incentives based on the improper use of SB 1818 is something I'm seeing around the city. It is a house of cards, and if you do not take your duty seriously to deal with that, it's simply going to get worse and stranger.
Thank you. Salih Harris, please join the line. Go ahead, sir. Again, folks, if you're up at the mic, don't wait for anyone else's name. You're up next. Go ahead. Thank you.
I'm Robert Smith. I live in Spalding Square, very nearby. I've been there for 26 years. I'd like to say, first of all, that I think the development of that corner is absolutely necessary. It's dilapidated. It could greatly enhance the neighborhood. I agree with all those things. I think a development like this, though, it just doesn't justify the creation of this monstrous example of greed and overdevelopment. And I think I'm being kind when I say that. The scale is out of proportion to anything else around it. You just have to drive through the neighborhood any day of the week, and you know how difficult it's going to be to add 239 stories and thousands of people, no matter what they say. I'd like to quote the Honorable Mayor Michael Bloomberg and say that I know a con when I see one. 28 units of affordable housing doesn't justify this kind of egregious development. And I hope the Planning Commission responsibly follows both the law and the spirit of the law and doesn't fall prey to this celebrity architectural overreach.
Thank you for your comments. Jasmine Youssef Zadeen, or Zadeh, please join the line. Come on up, ma'am. Good morning.
My name is Narisa Angstein. I live in Hollywood Hills West. I consider it walking distance from this project since I'm a walker. I think this is a beautiful building. I have seen the model. It's very green, very airy, and I think it would be an asset to the city of Los Angeles and to the Sunset Strip area. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for walking. Dara Papel and Ron Miller, please join the line. Good morning, sir.
Morning. My name is Wayne Marmerstein. I've lived on Crescent Heights Boulevard for over 35 years, and I love it there. 8150 Sunset is a massive, out-of-scale development that will seriously impact our neighborhood. At 234 feet high, the main tower will be the tallest building on Sunset Boulevard, dwarfing the surrounding neighborhood. This project needs to be scaled down considerably. It sits at the mouth of Laurel Canyon, with the traffic from east and westbound Sunset and northbound Crescent Heights Boulevard all feeding into the canyon. This area is already heavily congested. This project will make everyone's daily commute a nightmare. The so-called independent traffic study done by the developers will have us believe that this project will only add a few extra cars to the area daily. I think we all know better than that. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I please ask Rari Barish to join the line? Go ahead, sir.
Hi, my name is Josh Markman. I'm a longtime Angeleno resident and spent a lot of time in the neighborhood and a strong supporter of the project on Sunset. I travel all over the world and feel that LA in the last 5 or 6 years has transformed into one of the best cities in the world. And a project like this with a world-renowned architect will really continue to develop LA into one of the best cities in the world. LA is a cultural center of artistic community, and having a project like this, I think, will really kind of take LA to the next step. I'm a big supporter. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Serena Reed and Tara Koshbib, please join the line. Go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Sally Harris. I'm a docent at LACMA. I tour modern contemporary art, and I'm also a council member for the Modern and Contemporary Art Council. And I love Frank Gehry's work, but not there, not at this location. I come out of the garage on Havenhurst, and it's like a crapshoot whether I'm going to get on the street or not. There are cars either lined up both ways, or there are cars coming very fast down the hill, coming over the bumps, and it's really very dangerous. So I love his work, but please take a look at the traffic implications. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Jasmine Youssef-Sida, and I'm here to support 8150 Sunset.
As a resident of the neighborhood adjacent to 8150 Sunset, I can't think of a better architect and plan for this site. Frank Gehry is one of the greatest living architects, and I look forward to marveling in his design each day as I pass by while driving to work or walking to the grocery store. Simply saying that a world-renowned architect is building a project is not enough to make it worthwhile. This is clear. And the reasons why 8150 Sunset is such a no-brainer for me go beyond the fact that it's a Frank Gehry project. This project has a diversity of unit types and sizes. As a renter, I like that it adds desperately needed housing to the area, and it's an obvious improvement over the existing site. Thank you for your time, and I hope you'll join me in supporting this project.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Is that a bill, Ron?
You like bills, don't you?
The newspaper. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Ron Miller, Executive Secretary of the L.A. Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. And I brought a few of my friends with me today if I can get them to stand up. I'm going to try and cut down on the amount of speakers for you today, David. But we're very happy to be involved with this project. It's not too many times in a construction guy's lifetime that he gets to work on iconic buildings like this. And Frank Gehry is a true champion of the building trades. These are very intricate projects, complicated. These developers are doing the right thing. They could have come in here and built a three-story apartment house, property line to property line, and then the neighborhood wouldn't have been happy with that either. But instead, they decided to build something that the city of L.A. can look forward to, an iconic building that's good for the community, that'll have interaction with the local community, whether they believe it or not now, it will. We urge you to move forward with this project.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Keith Nakatha and Pleasance Staten, please join the line. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tara Koshman. Don't want to take up too much of your time. I'll just say that I think this project is great, like nothing I've ever seen before, and I hope you approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob Rubano, please join the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Jorge Cueva. After I live in 39 years in the area just next to this project, I can only tell the commission that it's going to be one of the greatest projects in that area. The project designed by this international architect, Frank Gehry, I believe is going to be one of the greatest, is going to be an icon in the area that we live. So I urge you to approve the project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Veronica LeBron, please join the line as well. Come on up, whoever's there, we'll hear from you. Good morning.
Good morning. Rory Barish, Safe Sunset Boulevard. I am not here because I am being wined and dined at various venues, promised free transportation, and a chance to meet a famous architect in exchange for singing his praises and that of the project. I am a concerned neighbor. I live directly behind the project. I've read the EIR, and I'm very informed. Our views will be blocked, buildings will be shaded, but developers say it's not significant. However, Townscape boasts astounding views from there to $3 to $13 million condos. Their views seem to matter. The fact that traffic will be a safety hazard if this project is granted a 300% density bonus instead of 35 does not matter. The fact that a city street has not been properly vacated does not matter. The fact that no traffic studies have been done for removing the Sunset driveway impacting Havenhurst does not matter. The fact the project is not within 1,500 feet from a transit stop does not matter. Or that LAFD and LADOT haven't studied Alternative 9, that doesn't matter. The fact that responders will be stuck in gridlock, that doesn't matter. What does matter, I ask?
Thank you. Heather Fox, please join the line.
Hi, my name is, good afternoon. My name is Serena Reed.
And morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's still morning.
Sorry. Is it morning?
Believe it or not.
Okay. I live exactly probably 500 feet from the proposed project. I am not opposed to the development itself, but I am opposed to the height. I think that to say that this is in scale of, it's three times larger than anything else in that neighborhood. I've lived there for 18 years. I'm well versed on this intersection. I oppose the traffic circle being, they say that they're going to maintain the traffic circle, that it's in disrepair. Yes, it is. But the problem is they want to vacate the street, which is my property, which is your property. And we've not had a hearing about getting rid of actually a part of Crescent Heights Boulevard. That turn lane is actually part of the street, and we need it badly. If you've ever driven through, I can see the traffic on Crescent Heights Boulevard going into the merge of Laurel Canyon. Fire trucks can't get up there. It's impossible. At rush hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're constantly blowing the horn, asking people to move over. It's really bad, and this project will only make it worse, especially with the traffic being pushed all the way to the side streets instead of Sunset Boulevard.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the 3-1 FAR.
Ryan Lawrence, please join the line. Go ahead, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Keith Nakata, Los Angeles. Pleasure to be back in front of you again today. I am extremely disappointed that the developer Townscape Partners has chosen to go with a project alternative that would result in the needless demolition of a historic building described in their own report as qualified for local historic designation when clear preservation alternatives are available and must be integrated as part of the overall project. Therefore, I am proud to be the co-applicant, along with Mr. Stephen Luffman, to designate the Lytton Bank Building at 8501 Sunset as a historic cultural monument. Friends of Lytton Savings was created as a last resort because the environmental review was not adequately addressing our preservation concerns. I hope you will respect the work of your fellow commissioners at the Cultural Heritage Commission, the real preservation pros, who can make a determination as to whether this building should be preserved and declared a historic cultural monument. I also hope you will join us next week on Thursday, August 4th, when we will be presenting the Lytton Bank to the Cultural Heritage Commission for their vote.
Thank
May
you,
I sir. Continue?
No. Thank you. Warren Feldman. Oh, you're okay?
Okay.
Okay. Annie Goggin, please join the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Rob Rubano. I live at 1521 North Doheny Drive.
A little closer, Rob.
Yep. I'm sorry. I live at 1521 North Doheny Drive at Oriole in the Hollywood Hills to the west of the project. I'm a strong supporter of the project, and I think for the myriad of reasons why anyone who truly has the best interests in the city of Los Angeles and the residents of Los Angeles would agree with. With all due respect to Ms. Dassault and Councilman Rue, I live in CD4, and they don't represent my voice nor the voice of a significant number of my neighbors. I've learned why I've become passionate about this project is because what I've learned is the councilman has put a lot of effort forth towards this project, and I would assume others. I guess maybe he's anti-development in terms of his political slant, and that's his agenda. We have a lot more pressing needs in our neighborhood. Literally, I've been burglarized, so have a number of my neighbors. I feel like there's been a lot of misrepresentation in terms of what the residents of the Hollywood Hills would like, because I've lived there for 8 years, and I've lived in Los Angeles for almost 20. I went to school at UCLA, and I'm an active member of the Bird Streets neighborhood group. So I want to make that clear. Thanks.
You have. Thank you, sir. Adrian Scott Fine and Tony Daly, please join the line.
Hello. Pardon my sidekick. My name is Heather Fox, and I live 6 blocks from 8150 Sunset, and I pass by the area almost every day. I'm here regarding the historic 1960 Lytton Savings Building. There is a growing concern in our community and others over the destruction of historic buildings by developers for profit without any consideration of the alternatives. Alternatives that the community wants and that show a respect for the history of Los Angeles and the need to reduce environmental impacts. I, for one, would like my daughter to grow up and see the beauty of what LA once was, as well as the beauty the future may bring. And I think adaptive reuse of Lytton Savings is not only feasible, but smart. I hope you will not support this project without serious consideration of the inclusion of this beautiful and significant modern building. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to need her to fill out a speaker card. Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I didn't check on my thing. I do oppose the project, but I also support
Who
the
are
appeal.
You?
Hi, I'm Annie Gagan, and I am a 27-year resident of historic Whitley Heights. I'm a former Hollywood Hills West Neighborhood Council board member.
I agree with the lawyers were great. Sarah, I'm with her. Thank you, David Rue, for standing up for your constituents. We are so grateful for David Rue. As a member of the Hollywood Hills West Board, they had hearings, meetings, town halls. The opposition was overwhelming. The people who support it, where were they? Maybe the neighborhood council would have voted differently if you all showed up. No one even knows about this project.
I appreciate your fervor.
I know. Okay.
It's loud.
Okay, I'm sorry. But
Your point could be equally done. I'll give you your time.
Okay.
But screaming into the
mic. Give me my cue.
Screaming into the mic, ladies and gentlemen, is a Trump rally. It is not persuasive.
Okay.
Let's talk to each other.
Okay.
Not past each other.
So
I'm going to put 27 seconds back on the clock.
All right, you ready?
Stop talking until I recognize you, please.
Tell me
I will. Let me put the time on.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So the opposition from the community and the people who will be greatly impacted by this project who live there was overwhelmingly opposed. There was maybe one person each meeting or town hall for it. I'd like to know where all these people came from. The developer did a great job bringing them in here today. None of them were at the neighborhood council meetings. None.
Thank you. Ron Woodson. Ron, and before the next person, Ron and Jamie Rummersfeld, you all have filled out one speaker card for two people. So we'll call you both up, but you're going to have to fill out two separate ones, okay? Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, my name is Tony Daly. I'm a Hollywood native. And I live five blocks from the project. I also work at Hyde and Hyde next door as well as a member of SPE. I can't tell you how excited I was when I heard about this project. I think it would be redundant to speak about how monumental it would be for the city as a landmark. What I am here to talk about is the misdirection that the opposition has done. Now, you don't need to be a member of WikiLeaks to take a look at the ad that they posted and see that they've literally photoshopped and stretched the building. So I got a postcard with the design, and then this one makes it probably double the size. So I wanted you guys to at least factor in what you're dealing with. And for all the people that are opposed to it that looked at this ad, just know at a time where we don't trust our politicians and we don't trust the media, one of our community members actually manipulated you with this ad right here. They are despicable and deplorable.
Well, I trust politicians, and I trust the media. And Park La Brea News honors you for that ad. Thank you. Appreciate the passion. George and Susan Good, another dual name card. We need everyone to fill out their own, but George and Susan Good, please join the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Adrian Scott Fine with the Los Angeles Conservancy. Today, we are submitting a letter from our attorney, Chatton Brown and Carsons, as we have strong concerns regarding the city and applicants' adherence to CEQA. The city lacks evidentiary support for rejection of preservation alternatives which meet a majority of project objectives. Despite the EIR, the city staff now propose contrary findings to try and support a determination that preservation alternatives are infeasible. Yet no substantial evidence exists supporting these claims. The Conservancy is opposed to the project on the basis that unnecessarily calls for the demolition of the historic Litton Savings Bank building and results in a significant impact and will require a statement of overriding considerations. An applicant's preference to start with a clean slate and not integrate a historic cultural resource and building is not a relevant factor in determining the feasibility of preservation alternatives. For all these reasons, we encourage you to take a step back and not certify the CIR at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Stephen Sadler, please join the line. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Rummerfield with Woodson and Rummerfield's House and Design. We are huge advocates of preservation and are gatekeepers for maintaining our architectural culture and heritage. As interior designers that are on the ground working in the field every day, we have witnessed multiple structures and iconic special buildings disappear on the residential side. We are urging the commission to pay attention to the requests from the Conservancy, and we welcome development and are huge fans of this team, and we'd love to ask you to integrate the Chase Bank building and preserve it somehow. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie Hall, please join the line. Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Ron Woodson, the other half of Woodson and Rummerfield's House of Design. I echo what Jamie just said. Also, being a native Angeleno and seeing our iconic properties being torn down at an alarming rate. And I too am a huge fan of Mr. Gary's and would hope that someone in the very future would also want to protect his properties and his designs in the future. So that's where we come in. Thank you.
Appreciate the perspective. One of you fill out a speaker card for me, okay? Thank you. Sir, before you begin, do you want to come to the desk so you could be more accommodated here, or where would you like to speak? Whatever works for you. Why don't we have our staff move out of the way and come right on up. Hello, sir.
Thank you.
You bet.
My name is Steven Sadler. I live a few blocks from the site. 8150 Sunset is great location for the proposed project, as we need positive change in our community. The developers have addressed the specific concerns of the neighboring residents and businesses near the Sunset Strip by adding underground parking, reducing the unit size of each building, which helps create a low in traffic, and partnering with Frank Gehry to provide a LA another artistical eye-catching design. This will provide better housing, and the 28 units of affordable housing sets an example for the future development in the city. I think it would be great for the community, and I'm looking forward to witnessing the development. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Can I have Keith Rivers, Larry Smith, Victor Vaspero join the line, please? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Jamie Hall. I'm the president of the Laurel Canyon Association. Our community is located directly to the north of this project site. We have about 4,500 people that live in Laurel Canyon. And we've done a survey and a poll, and the overwhelming majority of our members that are so directly impacted by this project oppose it as it is currently planned. And we support our council member and their staff. I'd like to focus on one thing, because the bulk and the size, I think, has already been explained. But the traffic impacts. It's not, the burdens associated with the additional traffic shouldn't be put on our back. And there are reasonable mitigation measures that the developer hasn't explored. One way is to reduce the traffic on the roads. And so the problem with that is that we don't have adequate sidewalks to get to the project site. There are utility poles on the project site. We don't have a bus stop at Kirkwood and Laurel Canyon Boulevard. So there are reasonable, feasible mitigation measures that the applicant has not explored, and we think he needs to do that before you certify the EIR. Thank you.
Were you here last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice to meet you again. Louis T.
Hi, my name is Keith Rivers. I live in the Hollywood Hills, directly above the project. I'm excited as this project will continue to bring the perfect confluence between the neighborhood and the Sunset Strip. I studied planning and development at USC. While at SC, we examined Frank Gehry's work. The impact that this project has contributed to Los Angeles is immensely important. The city of Los Angeles lacks landmarks. I'm extremely excited to have one in my backyard. In an ever-changing world that lacks experience, I'm greatly thankful to have an experience to enjoy frequently. Thank you.
Thank you. Wesley Brindle, please join the line. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Larry Smith. I'm here to speak in support of this project. I think it's awesome. What exists there now is awful. And in terms of the arguments against the traffic and the scale, you know, I've lived in LA for 30 years, and those are the two items that have been used for arguments forever. Thank God our MTA is building transit, and it would behoove people to get out of their cars and try it. This is what a big city does. This is an awesome project. And in terms of scale, if you really want to build to scale of LA, are you going to build two-story and four-story across the city? You can't do that. This is a big city. And it's time to get, you know, the mixed use in here. This will be awesome for the neighborhood. People can walk to this. They can go and have dinner. They can go and have a drink. They can go and do whatever on the plaza. It will be a huge benefit for the neighborhood. Thank you.
Markeisha de Jonet, please join the line. Hi, hello, sir.
Good morning. My name is Victor Weisberg, and I live not too far from this lot. And I live in LA about 30 years, and I love Los Angeles. This lot, anyway, will be developed somehow. But if it will be done by the Mr. Frank Harry design, it will be a piece of jewel and adoring my lovely LA. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jorge Cueva and Natasha Roos, please join the line. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm a freelance designer.
What's your name?
My name is Luai. You called me Louis T earlier, but
welcome, Luai T.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm a freelance designer in West Hollywood. And I think this is a great idea, only because we could honor Frank Gehry, his greatest design yet. And I have a request proposal for the developers that if we add a rooftop restaurant, I think this will be a great site. So. And the only reason why I approve of this project is because I come back home waiting an hour in traffic, and this will just help reduce time. Thank you.
I'm going to take Oren's pulse on a rooftop. Ah, there you go. I think you've been heard, sir. Hi. Before you begin, Marissa Ficarra and Dustin Khoury and Dwayne Gathers, please join the line. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Markeisha DeJeanette. And I'm here today to support the 8150 Sunset Project. As an LA resident, we are exposed to different types of agriculture on a daily basis. This project will truly be one of the best structures we have upon completion, allowing all of LA to appreciate what LA architect Frank Gehry has designed. I love that this building will not only be incredible, but will provide housing and affordable housing in an area that sincerely needs it. Thank you for your time.
Thank Please you approve. For yours. RT Baxter, come on up. Go ahead, Dwayne. Good morning.
Dwayne Gathers, Gather Strategies. My company is based in Hollywood. And as some of you know, I've been involved in economic development around the city of LA since 2004, not long ago serving as a CRA commissioner until its demise. One of the things I do now is I co-chair the Hollywood Chamber's Economic Development Committee, where our mission is simple: to advocate for economic vitality that creates jobs, promotes a sustainable economy, and enhances the quality of life in Hollywood. We believe this project does so, and we strongly urge your support. This project represents a significant financial investment, which the city needs. This project represents a substantial amount of jobs, which the city desperately needs because we continue to underperform in job count. This project represents housing, which we need at all price points, and more importantly, as we continue the process of becoming a world-class city, this project represents an outstanding gateway to Hollywood from the West, taking its place alongside many other significant projects taking place along Sunset Boulevard. So we respectfully appreciate your consideration and support.
Hey, Dwayne. Jordan Cohen, Lindsay Ratkovich. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Artie Baxter. I'm an actor, a LA resident since 2003, and a proud new father who frequents this area. You know, hearing some of the people's remarks, I got to say, it seems like they want to bring our city backwards instead of forward. You know, I feel selfishly I want better restaurants, better development, more places to see and do for myself and for my child. You know, I take a lot of pride in saying that I live in Los Angeles, and I'm confident with the right technology, innovation, my son will take pride in saying that he was born and raised here. You know, I never come to these things. I'm actually really glad I did. I completely respect the opposition's point of view, but I feel passionate about this project, and I think it's special, and I hope that we get you guys on board. Thank you.
What have you been in?
Want me to take another 8 minutes?
No. Aren't you all curious? I am. John Diaz, Jordan Jackson, Dan, who lives on Clark Street. I'm not going to try that last name. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Marissa Ficarra. Just wanted to say that I'm a Los Angeles native and a supporter of this project. My biggest thing, the reason why that I stand by this project is the housing crisis right now. I myself, I'm a freelance photographer, someone who's very involved in my community, and I think this is a great opportunity to mesh something within the city that has to do with culture. Frank Gehry's design, I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I think people just need to realize that, you know, we have to move with the times and what needs to go on with the city, and that's affordable housing, opportunities for us to have a place to go to and, you know, be a part of. So I'm with it. So I hope you guys are too. Thank you.
Denise Jones and Jesse Lee Stout, please join the line. Hi, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us. I just have two quick points. Having lived in Manhattan for 11 years.
Just tell us your name, sir.
Oh, Dan Pafford.
Hi, Dan.
Having lived in Manhattan for 11 years and now LA for 2 years, I recognize the much-needed architectural gravitas that the Frank Gehry structure will bring to the Sunset Strip and the LA skyline. It is structures like these that positively define an urban landscape for years and decades to come. In the spirit of honoring Los Angeles history, this space and these proposed structures will house and foster residences and communities that embody Alla Nazimova's original vision of communal space where residents meet, greet, interact, and welcome a neighboring community without the restraints of getting into one's car to drive to the nearest grocer, coffee shop, or bank. It will all be contained within these very progressive structures. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Before we begin, ma'am, can I please ask Justin Kwiatkowski to join the line from Detroit Street? Go ahead. Good morning.
Morning. my name is Lindsay Rakovich, and I'm coming here to support the project. I was raised to always appreciate history and architecture and the preservation of such, but I'm really excited to see us take a next step forward. And on another note, as much as we hate traffic, and we also have to acknowledge the city is growing. Traffic is always going to be bad, although I understand that there are some really serious issues here. We do have to plan for the future and understand that. Thanks.
Thank you. Feliz.
Hello, my name is Denise Brown.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm a big fan of Frank Gehry and the progressive Los Angeles culture. I'm an artist, and I support artists, and I'm for this project.
Thank you very much. Clear statement. Feliz Kaplan, please join the line. Also, Max Sherman, Rachel Aflalo. We'll go with that. Rachel, you know who you are. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. My name is actually Tim Williams. I believe there was a clerical error as Justin Kwiatkowski was supposed to have been my plus one. However, he is not in attendance today. My name is Tim Williams, LA resident residing 1.3 miles from the proposed project site. American cities today are more segregated than prior to integration of schools during the 1960s. Though racial divisions dominate the 24-hour news cycle, black and white are not the colors which divide us. Green is. The socioeconomic divide in America is widening from city to city. However, one American city among them has always led the way on everything from equal rights to health care, and that city is Los Angeles. So then why now would we, the people of LA, turn away from an opportunity to lead again? This project is one simple step toward healing our perilous nation by way of a neo or new integration, a socioeconomic integration which will place people who see one another as, quote, the other, side by side, integrated and interacting with one another, learning to understand one another, for we are always stronger together. A tale of two cities, albeit a great novel, is not the tale of America. America is still and will forever be the shining city on the hill.
Thank you. Amy Vansgaard. Hi, come on up. Good morning. You're next. I love your hat. Come on up. You. Yes, you.
Rachel.
That's fine, Rachel. You're next. The mic is yours.
Thank you. My name is Rachel Aflalo. I'm a 40-year resident of this area. I approve of this project. It's once-of-a-lifetime opportunity to have such a beautiful, iconic structure in our neighborhood. We'll get extra housing for the for low income, which is mostly needed in this area. And for traffic, people should maybe walk or take transit more. Thank you.
Yes, maybe. Yafin Guzman, please join the line. Whoever's there, please come up next. Whoever's there.
It's not Yafin Guzman. Okay.
Hi, my name is Felice Kaplan, and I'm a comedian, but being funny and broke is no longer a joke, so I need a real job. Okay, and since she spoke so little and I speak a lot, can I take the 20 seconds that
no,
she didn't use?
No, but
okay.
I adore the question.
Okay. I myself only live four blocks away and look forward to this being built every day. Why would anyone say no to Project 8150? Would you say no to a Michelangelo? It's almost like when a new beautiful girl is now attending your school, and before you even meet her, you're already whispering and cruel. So while you continue to be so bitter and mean, she is voted as homecoming queen. So with this incredibly gorgeous place, with a perfect structure and beautiful face that is magical and bright, that I would be so excited and delighted to walk by every night. Do you really need a McDonald's and your hamburger and fries? It's just going to expand your butt and your thighs. I'm sure you could find chicken anywhere, but a Frank Gehry project is very rare. So just try to listen and be grateful for this plan. And maybe if you're lucky enough, one day you can
thank
smile
you.
And thank this genius of a man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm verklempt. If you're not from New York, that means speechless. So you're welcome to come to any meeting. Hi, before you begin, can I please ask Turin Saeed and Roger Adams to join the line? Do you have a poem for us?
No.
That's
I'm
all right.
I'm so sorry, I have to follow this. This
I feel
is
underdressed as well. Please go right ahead.
My name is Amy Vangsgaard. I've lived here in Los Angeles for 30 years. And I have dedicated most of my free time to volunteer work. I'm very much in favor of this project for so many reasons. Many people have spoken eloquently, but I think the mixed use is going to be the right thing for our city. I think people of low income and high income living together is the future of our city. It's a stunning project. And I can't wait till it's built.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was poetry. Gerald Israel and Alex Stahl, please join the line. Go ahead, sir. You can come up.
Hello. My name is Yefim Guzman. I am living in Los Angeles, quite close to this place, like about 20 years. And I am an architect. I was an architect for 20 years. I review this project probably three or four times. It's some exhibition, elevation sections, and everything else. And I think this project is very good, very nice. And I am for this project.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Christina Acevedo and Darvis Hollins, please join the line. Good afternoon. Morning.
Good morning, Roger Adams. I've worked and lived in the Hollywood area for a number of years. I'm a proud member of Local 33 IATSE. We have nothing to do with this building, and I'd like to add that union labor is much safer and higher quality than non-union labor, and I think all my union brothers will agree on that. We all seem to agree that the current mall that is there right now is pretty much useless. I don't know why these people want to save a bank when they've let things like Schwab's drugstore and the Brown Derby go bye-bye, and along with thousands of other historic buildings. I walk through this area on a regular basis, and this looks to be a very pedestrian-friendly site. I am very much in favor of this, and I think a lot of the claims against it are ridiculous. I thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Jason. Jason Schlocker, Schlunger, please join the line. Go right ahead. If you're next, you're there. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Hello, Alexandra Staley. I honestly can't express in words what this project means to me, because the first time I saw it, I felt it was so unique and beautiful and would add so much to the city. And also, Frank Gehry is not only an artist but as a person seems like one of the most beautiful people I've ever heard speak and share, and there's no one else I would rather have set an example of how development should continue forward for not only the future of Los Angeles, but all of us as a whole. So, thank you.
Thank you. And you put it into words beautifully. James Jones and Nina Moss, please join the line. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Darius Holland, and I support the 8150 Sunset Frank Gehry project. I just want to say that I think it's an amazing design, and I appreciate Frank Gehry for what he does and what he is doing. I also think that if you think that it is not okay for 28 families to get the opportunity to experience such an interesting, and I mean something with artistic culture, something worth, then I think you're inhumane. And I'm going to leave it with this. Not realizing, no amalgamizing us, we. We need to bridge communication, and we need to all learn how to get along. This is important, and I think that it needs to flourish. It has to happen, because LA is not known for anything, only for recycled things. And this is original. Thank you.
Steven Sadler and Suzette Martinez, please join the line. Hi, good morning still, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little tired. Could use a bathroom break soon after a public comment.
All right.
Thank
all
you
right.
for asking.
Well, thank you for having me out for the opportunity to support 8150 Sunset Project. My name is Jason Schumacher. I'm an L.A. resident. I definitely have an affinity for that old Hollywood history. You know, the Garden of Allah was here, and Frank Gehry kind of references that in his design a little bit. And many folks have touched on the destruction of a historic bank building, but I feel like the real tragedy was the destruction of the Garden of Allah. This kind of brings back some of that history and puts it into something that's built for today. And I kind of feel like this is going to be a storybook ending for the Nazimova and Garden of Allah story. So yeah, thank you, and please approve.
Thank you, sir. Chelsea Byers, please join the line as well. Hi, good morning.
Hi, my name is Turan, and I'm an architect, urbanist, and PhD in civil engineer from University of Rome. And my mom lives in this area, where is a project from 1985, and I know perfectly this area. And my question was, the people contest about this project, we are not talking about the how great he is, but I want to know how many architects is here, and those opinion, and how the people thinks this stuff with the professionist people. They didn't consider the volume of the traffic or all the problematic. I think they have to rethink about what they said, because this staff did a great job, which gave this project going to have a very big impact with this
Thank
environment
you.
And this
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Brett Johnson and Karina Perez, please join the line. Hi, good morning still.
Hello, my name is Suzette Martinez, and I am speaking today to give my support for the proposed project at 8150 Sunset. I live within walking distance, and I am here today because the development team came and knocked on my door to show me the proposal and ask for my input. I love the environmentally friendly nature of this design that has no new net emissions compared to the current site, while helping to fulfill key city initiatives of creating a more sustainable Los Angeles and addressing our housing needs of our community. Hopefully, these key features will become the standard or over the exception as we address the dynamic evolution of our city. To know that a two-story strip mall will produce more greenhouse gases in a 15-story residential building that will also provide housing for so many shows we've got a lot to do in regards to these inefficient strip malls and surface-level parking lots. In regards to the concerns of the ever-changing skyline of our city, I understand everything that's been addressed. However, we must face the challenges proactively with a vision on the future and understand that we must embrace opportunities like this that allow us to be forward-thinking. The legacy of this project will not be Mr. Gehry's alone. It will belong to our city. Thank you.
Ebony Gilbert, Hannah Lee, and Scott Hurlston, please join the line. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Chelsea Byers. It's great to be with you all in this democratic process and on the same day that this two-week sprint of the RNC and DNC are over, finally. I protested outside the RNC in Cleveland, and I'm happy to say that this room is far less hostile than those ones. So thank you for that. I'm also happy to see members of my community engage in this process, some for the first time, all to catalyze the change necessary that we want to see in Los Angeles, which is the support of 8150. Sadly, what feels similar to what I witnessed at Trump's RNC is the lack of willingness to embrace real challenges and the perpetuation of fear to offset that drive that many of us have in this community. This project represents inclusivity and openness to embrace and tackle challenges the city faces. We have immense challenges around transportation and traffic. There's no doubt about that. But we can't be short-sighted when it comes to this project and the urgent housing crisis that we face when we have such an iconic use of space being delivered to us. I'm eager to talk about the ways we can mitigate traffic, certainly, and personal vehicle use is a huge part of that. And I know that those conversations will happen, but they cannot happen at the expense of this project. So thank you all for embracing the spirit of change.
Thank you very much. Dustin, Corey, and Lake Simmons, please join the line. Good morning.
Yeah, we're almost in the afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Brett Johnson, and I'm an LA resident who drives by and visits the site regularly, and I strongly support this project. As I begin the process of becoming a first-time homeowner, I would have loved the luck and ability to buy a house 30 years ago just to see it skyrocket. People in my generation don't have that anymore. So we really need more affordable housing, and this project is one of the ways to do that. We really need to build for the future, and what I heard today, it really sounds like we want to go back to everybody's comfort zone who opposes this to 1980. The diversity of the yeses has been so diverse, but yet we keep seeing the same people coming over and having the same concerns. So support this project and build something for the future. Thank you.
I go to the McDonald's sometimes, to confess. They have good coffee. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, my name's Karina Perez, and I'm an LA resident. And I just wanted to say that this building reflects what LA represents, which is diversity, innovation, and the beauty of the people and the city. This project has come a long way, and it would really be of the service if you guys don't go through with this project. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Martha Caffrey and Antonio Sanchez, please join the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Scott Ralston. I'm a student at Cal Poly Pomona. I'm studying construction engineering and eventually architecture. And I came here this morning to speak or to support this project. Having lived in California for about 10 years now and observed how busy it is coming from a much smaller community on the East Coast, I feel building up and creating projects like these are the only way to sort of mitigate the needs of a growing city. And as a student and hopefully a future architect, I'm really impressed with this building, and I think it'll improve the aesthetic, just the overall aesthetic area of the city. So I hope you support this project too, and thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Mark Y. Wa, please join the line. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm okay.
bless. My name is Lathan Simmons, or Lake Simmons. I'm a U.S. Navy vet, and I've lived in California for 6 years. Half of that, I was homeless. I believe Abraham Lincoln sums up a major reason why I support this, the 8150 project. He says, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. California has a history of being progressive, a progressive state, and Los Angeles has a reputation of being one of the most desired destinations of the West Coast. This building brings a wonderful uplift to the city's profile and would also bring a quality of life to 249 families. The Building Planning Committee has been selected to invest in projects that's going to better tomorrow, not yesterday, while simultaneously enhancing development gain. Project 8150 Sunset provides the city with the opportunity to increase developmental gain, jobs, and easing the homeless crisis. In Los Angeles, by making 28 units that would be very appealing to homeless vets like myself, who was fortunate to be selected for a housing placement organization, however, struggled to find decent living facilities.
I know, it goes quickly. Thank you for your comments, and I appreciate, as a formerly homeless person myself, that you are finding your way. Look forward to seeing you on the commission soon. Narissa Anekatasarian, or thereabouts, who lives on Hawthorne, please join the line. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Antonio Sanchez, longtime LA resident, and I'm here with a couple of my brothers and sisters from the trades. So you've heard about the jobs piece, and of course, it's very important to us. But I want to expand on what Mr. Gary mentioned, and I hope I'm getting this right. Some buildings have no humanity, as he stated. And I'd like to add that some developers don't either. But this one does. The green technologies, working with organized labor, the almighty parking spot, and the affordable housing units, incredibly, incredibly important to us. As a big supporter of the Build a Better LA initiative, we want to see more affordable housing. This is part of the issue. I'm a renter, 9-month-old daughter, and the American dream is becoming an American myth for many people. So let's work on making housing more affordable. I'm supportive. Thank you.
Thank you for your very personal comments. Piedmont Brown, Rebecca Randolph, Javier Mulero. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Commission. I'm not Piedmont. I'm a little uglier than he is. But my name is Robert Smith. I'm with the Painters and Allied Trades. I'm the political director. This project's about jobs and responsible jobs for us. I know a lot of folks have issues with, you know, housing, et cetera. And we all do. All of our members do. You know, if any of our members are lucky to be there, that'd be great. You have labor. And you have labor, and you have a great architect. I won't even say his name because I'd be like calling Ronald Reagan's name again at a Republican convention. I'll invoke his name, but I support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Strick, please join the line. William Berryman. Hi, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning still. My name is Stephen Strick. Good morning, commissioners. I'm here to speak in emphatic opposition to the proposed and what I believe to be illegal Gary project at Havenhurst and Sunset. And I'm speaking here as someone who was raised in Los Angeles. My mother was born here. My sister's a city attorney. My family has very deep roots in the community. I live on Havenhurst, just a very short way away from the proposed project. I'm not here to argue really the aesthetics of the project. We've listened to a lot of people here who are very much for it. They think it's great. Other people think it's a monstrosity. So those are subjective notions. I'm not really here to argue those. What is not subjective, however, is that the project is grossly out of scale. It dwarfs and diminishes its surroundings, including the several historically important buildings, such as the Andalusia and the Colonial House, where I am a resident. I'm glad to hear that the heliport that was originally projected for the project has been done
Thank
away
you.
With. May I ask for 2 more minutes?
No, but I appreciate your comments. Mark Lynn and Eric Jaffe, is there anyone else who hasn't filled out a speaker card that wishes to speak on this item? Because I'm going to go to staff after this. I saw a hand way back there. Before you begin, sir, in the hat, was that you? Did you want to speak on this item? Did you fill out a speaker card? All right, come into the line then. We'll hear you. Anyone else? This is the last line here. Great. Did you fill out a speaker card, ma'am? No. Okay, you'll fill it out after you talk, okay? I may didn't mention the speaker card thing earlier. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I'm here in vehement support of the project. I moved to Los Angeles about 4 years ago. Had an awful time trying to find decent mixed-use housing. And I finally moved into a project about less than a mile away from this one, a new project. And it's a mixed infill, you know, mixed-use project with restaurants and things like that. And it's actually allowed me to give up my car. It's allowed my girlfriend to give up her car because we basically just Uber everywhere and we walk and, you know, go to the restaurants, have things delivered. And I think that that's something that, you know, we look at these projects as in the past tense, how things were in the past. And when you actually look at projects like this, I think that they can, by being great mixed-use urban infill projects, they can actually reduce congestion and reduce traffic because people are going to be you know, using shared services, shared cars, and that's kind of the way of the future. So I just wanted to add that personal note.
So added. Sir, what's your name?
Mark Lynn.
Thank you, Mark Lynn. Hi.
Hi.
Those circles are so helpful. Those circle stickers?
Yes, they are. Thank you. Hi, my name is Eric Jaffe, and I live in Hollywood. I think Los Angeles needs another landmark building, as it doesn't have many. I think this proposed development is ethereal, whimsical, and beautiful in keeping with Frank Gehry tradition. I think it'll be a destination, landmark, and thing of pride for our wonderful city. Therefore, I support the 8150 Sunset Boulevard project. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, come on up.
Thank you. You called me ma'am back there, so I'll go ahead.
I can barely see ya.
You called me ma'am back there, so I'll go ahead.
Oh, no, I heard you. I just can't see ya.
I'll call you Gary Shandling.
There you go. I'll take it.
Wait, he's
dead.
Yeah, the rest in pieces, right? Rest in pieces.
It's getting real in here. Go right ahead, sir.
My name is Dominic. My grandma was born in General Hospital in 1936, so we got roots here. And I believe this project is designed for the purpose of alleviating traffic and to create homes for residents of Hollywood, Los Angeles. I recently was a part of furnishing Curry Hall, a mass-scale project which is located at the USC Medical Building, located by Lincoln Heights, Los Angeles. This apartment-style dormitory houses approximately 600 residents with a parking structure to accommodate. This design is a vast update to the specific area of Los Angeles, and traffic is not an issue. This project helped me to pay my rent and to feed my family. Immediate residents of Hollywood, Los Angeles fear the traffic will become more congested than it currently is. This is, of course, a paranoid assumption. The strip mall currently occupying this space has about 50 less parking spaces that this project will offer if approved. This project is positive on 90% of all aspects, creating jobs, offering homes and parking, and a clean environment by following LEED standards. The other 10% would be blocking the view of current residents who insist on having it. I support this project based on economical and environmental positivity. It is human nature to build.
Thank you.
Just like Egypt, Cahokia, Los Angeles, or Beijing.
Thank you. Please fill out a speaker card if you already did not. Thank you. Hi, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Musechuk, and I've been a resident since 1983 to Los Angeles. I skated all of Sunset. I'm a skater since then. I've seen how the city has been becoming more deplorable, more deplorable. I just had a hamburger there last night. the thing is, the transients, this is going to change that. It's going to provide homes for people that can afford it. There's going to be jobs for people that need it. People need money in their pockets, and this is going to be a help, especially with restaurants, with bars, and especially a beautiful design. And God bless these people. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Good hamburgers there. Good eating. Suzanne Manners is the last speaker card I have. Was just submitted. I'm sure it's going to be something we haven't heard yet. Ma'am, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Lauren Johnson, and I'm a resident of the Los Angeles area. I'm familiar with West Hollywood also, being that I've worked with the mayor, John D'Amico, within the last year. And I do agree that this new structure needs to be built because it will help contribute to the Los Angeles lifestyle. It'll add a vibrant feel. And but sitting through this meeting, honestly, I've heard both point of views, and I do agree that if there are some changes that need to be made, then they need to be made to accommodate. And yeah, I'm in support of this building. I think it's very nice, very elegant, and yeah, that's basically it. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments.
No problem. And where do I get the card from?
Right over to my left. Don is going to wave at you. Hi, Don.
Hey, Don. Thank you.
Come on up. Our last speaker, Suzanne Manners. Did you just join us?
I did.
Welcome.
Well, you guys are going to love me because I'm another apartment owner.
Great.
But I have the 8-unit apartment at 1477-79 Havenhurst Drive. And this proposed project would impact the building. It's right across the street. Okay. Also, on the Los Angeles side, the street has so many potholes and it's cracked. And I've tried to get the city to fix the street, but they won't. But again, I'm considering all of the trucks coming in with the dirt, as Mr. William who is representing me, spoke on this issue. So I'm also adopting everything that he said, and so I oppose this project based on the fact that I am an apartment owner directly across the street and for the reasons Mr. William spoke of. That's all.
Well, you missed a fun morning, but thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Those are all the speaker cards we have. At this point, I'm going to ask, excuse me, let's see. We did the rebuttal. And at this point, I'm going to invite Sarah Dussault from Councilman Rue's office to take as much time as she'd like to respond to anything she's heard or add any new information. Sarah, good morning again.
Good morning, commissioners. I don't know what time it is. I just want to clear up a couple of things that were stated in the public comment and offer for your consideration. First, I want to thank all the staff that have worked on this and all the various people who have contributed to this discussion from the community. And we really appreciate your input and people's enthusiasm about great placemaking. Councilmember Rue agrees with many of the supporters who are here today for this project. We look forward to an iconic Geary project, good jobs, affordable housing. But that's not the question here before you, commissioners. You need to look at exactly what's at issue in this case. Is this exchange fair? Is it supported by the law? Is this precedent that you're setting for affordable housing, for the inclusion of those units, is that the precedent we want applied elsewhere in order to get to our goal of 15,000 units? I agree with the speaker that it would be inhumane not to include very low income. I'd like to see some workforce housing, more units in this building. But that's not what's at issue. What's at issue is, what's the right exchange? What does the substantial evidence support for us to make good policy to provide affordable housing throughout the city? So that's what's actually before you. I want to congratulate the fact you guys get to be independent. You don't have to do what we request. You don't have to do what's in the staff report. As long as you follow the law, you don't have to do what any of us say. And you get to bring into this equation your own personal experience and some common sense. And we've seen this commission do that time and time again. You did it on Paramount. You sifted through a lot of evidence, and they were requesting 240 feet, and you granted 150. So I want to be clear that you need to look at the details of this case. The pro forma they submitted is the evidence that they have to provide to look at the affordable housing piece. In their pro forma, they say that they will make 15.9% in profit, which is about $52 million. Now, that's after cost. So I want to make sure you take a look at that and consider what is the substantial evidence that is supporting their request to triple the FAR. You've got an opportunity to lead here today on mixed income investment, and we think that is critical for the future of Los Angeles. Councilmember Rue is a product of the American dream. He's an immigrant from Korea. He came here with nothing. We want to see that for more and more people throughout Los Angeles. And we think you guys have the skills to sift through all of this evidence and make the right determination today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Staff, we've heard a lot. What I'm going to do is call a 5-minute recess. So, commissioners, I know we have a couple timely people today that have different things on their life. Grab your lunch during that break. Come sit back down. Staff is going to go through responses. Then we're going to close public comment, and we're going to hear from commissioner with questions and deliberations. So in the next 5 minutes, use the restroom, grab lunch, come sit down, and staff, prepare to share any closing thoughts you had before we go into commissioner questions and deliberations. So 5 minutes. It's 11:55. We'll reconvene at 12 o'clock this afternoon. That 5 minutes goes quickly, so we're going to reconvene. If folks could find their way back to their seats, we are going to, we're going to hear from staff in terms of their response to anything they wanted to respond to from the robust public testimony we heard today from members of the public and council and civic organizations and poets and a few singers who shared their thoughts with us. Thank you, everyone, for shutting down conversations. and beginning to get ready. Or not. You know, whatever you want. Hi. Why don't we go ahead and introduce yourselves and staff. Let's hear anything you wanted to respond to. My only thought would be, you know, we're going to have a lot of questions. So maybe at this point, if you could keep your responses really quite tight, that would be nice so we can get to you with what's on our mind as well in an expeditious manner, as we have a lot of items still on the agenda for today. Lucy, go right ahead.
Hi, Lucy Ibarra with the Department of City Planning. There were several issues raised today, so if you don't mind being patient as we go through them, and feel free to interject if you have any questions or need clarification on any of the statements we're going to make today. There was a reference to the traffic island that was identified in the housing element as a potential development site. So the housing element, in order to comply with state law, the city is required to undertake an inventory of sorts of developed and underdeveloped land upon which the required number of housing units can be accommodated without the need of discretionary actions. The methodology for this was to identify all available parcels of land, that's including vacant land and land that's been developed but could otherwise accommodate additional housing. This site was zoned C4, this traffic island that's in question, and could accommodate one unit. Now, what the inventory did not do was go into fine-comb detail with each particular parcel and determine whether or not that particular parcel was even appropriate for housing. To that end, there is a footnote in the map, I think it's map 3.1, that states that the sites identified should not be interpreted as housing, as locations in which the City of LA encourages development. So I think given the geographic constraints of this particular site, we could generally agree that this is not an appropriate place to locate housing.
On an island in the middle of an intersection.
Correct.
Yeah.
There continues to be some concern about the street vacation that is not being requested by the developers. So in our conversations with Board of Public Works and Bureau of Street Services, this particular parcel is owned by the General Services Real Estate Division. This land was slated for street services. Our conversation with street services have always indicated that they're amenable to the reconfiguration of the traffic island, that the process for reconfiguration is the revocable permit process and the B permit process. Those are processes that are done through Public Works. Now, to the extent that people make the assumption that this gives the developer additional open space or it's being used to qualify open space or other development standards of the project, that is not the case. So if you look at the track map that's attached to the report, you'll see that the property lines have always shown that that particular island is reconfigured is not a part of the project. And the appropriate procedure for reconfiguration and to maintain the right-of-way and that property interest to the City of Los Angeles is a revocation permit. So in the event that the City of LA wanted to relinquish their rights or otherwise sell that property, that would be the vacation process. But the city here is maintaining ownership of the right-of-way and the property related to that traffic island. There was a mention about 1222-25G3, the reference to the discretionary action when considering off-menu waivers. So this language typically as interpreted by the city and the planning department insinuates that in order to develop residential housing on a parcel, you would need to effectuate a zone change that would allow residential uses that would then determine the residential development standards upon which then you would apply the on or off menu waivers. So in this case, the project is zoned C4, which allows residential uses consistent with the R4 density, in other words, 400 square feet per unit. There's no discretionary action necessary for this particular site to allow those residential units to develop. So to the extent that there's some confusion that a discretionary action is necessary, the development standards are clear in the zone, and that includes the delimitation. Now, state law under SB 18 allows a developer or an applicant to exceed or otherwise trump the underlying development standards in the zone in order to provide and to serve as an incentive for the provision of affordable housing units on the site. So to the extent that there was concern about whether an FAR of 3-to-1 is appropriate, I will mention that the discretion is yours, and the pro forma is intended to demonstrate that the off-menu incentive, is necessary to provide the number and the types of affordable housing being proposed on the project. If you were to, if you were weighing whether or not an FAR of 3-to-1 at the project site was appropriate, I will add that there are two nearby residentially zoned properties. There's the R2-1XL across the street. And then further down to the east, there's a RAS 4. Both of those allow a 3-to-1 FAR, and they're both located along Sunset. And those do not require a discretionary action to achieve the 3-to-1. That's the by right. So if you wanted to consider the appropriateness of an FAR of 3-to-1, you have some precedent there relative to residential development along Sunset. There was an issue about the earthquake fault. So just to clarify, the project site is located within the fault zone, but it is not located on the actual fault. And we've confirmed this with our Department of Building and Safety. And if you look at their letter from October, they've confirmed that the project site is not, there's no active fault underlying the project site. To clarify that issue, the land uses that are being proposed on the project are consistent with the general plan designation for the site, and the intensity is appropriate with the underlying zone. So the C4 zone allows, as I mentioned before, 400 square feet per unit, and it could qualify by right. It could allow up to 278 dwelling units. And what the project is proposing instead is 249 units. Of which the project is proposing 11% for very low-income purposes. That means that they're not using the 35% density bonus in terms of the number of units that could exceed the 278 units that they would otherwise be allowed. The issues regarding Alternative 9, so when the advisory agency considered the track map, it was very clear in the report then, prior to the consideration of the project before the advisory agency, that the Department of City Planning had been recommending approval of Alternative 9. And in the staff report before you, we've also mentioned that the project before you is Alternative 9, the 249 dwelling units, the 65,000 square feet, and the attached exhibit, which reflects Alternative 9, which is being presented to you before today. There was reference to a private easement. So I just wanted to clarify that if there's a private easement, it's in the right-of-way and not a part of the project site. So the development of this project and the track map is not changing or otherwise modifying any private easements in the right-of-way. And there's no private easements from the adjoining property owners on this project site. So to clarify that issue. There were other concerns brought up. If I can find my notes.
There sure were.
There were concerns about height and massing. In our presentation, we showed you the original project design and the proposed project design under Alternative 9. And with reference to the site plan review findings that need to be made, I just want to clarify that the development of the site is consistent with the height, setback, and building separation provisions of the code, and that the planning department recommendations for the location of loading areas, lighting, trash collection, and other pertinent improvements are consistent with our practice in terms of design. Relative to the massing and the height, again, there's no height limit here, and the massing in Alternative 9, in our opinion, is a far superior product compared to what was proposed under the original project. There was an issue about whether or not the project was consistent with the mobility plan or the mobility element. I just want to clarify that the tract was filed vesting prior to the adoption of the mobility element, and therefore the transportation element standards apply. That being said, as we mentioned in the presentation, the transportation element requires a 12-foot sidewalk, whereas the mobility element would have required a 15-foot sidewalk along Sunset Boulevard. Now, in order to propose a 15-foot sidewalk, that would mean that the roadway width for Sunset Boulevard would have to be reduced by 3 feet in order to accommodate the expanded sidewalk width. But given the traffic concerns in the project area, you know, the project applicant proposed and said to maintain and use the transportation standards. And they filed vesting, and it was an appropriate application of the law when you file vesting that you have vested rights into the applicable laws and regulations at the time that you've applied.
In other words, they're grandfathered.
Correct. So the FAR increase, I think we discussed that. The height district change. So as I mentioned before, state law permits projects that are using SB 1818 to exceed the development standards of the underlying zone when you're proposing a project that includes the provision of the appropriate level of affordable housing to qualify for the density bonus. So as I mentioned before, the project is eligible for a 35% density bonus, but they're not using it. They're below the maximum allowed density under the existing conditions. And you know, development standards include heights, setbacks, open space, and FAR. So in this case, the state density bonus law is being invoked in order to exceed the development standards for FAR. As I mentioned before, the appropriateness of the 3-to-1 was considered in light of the adjoining residentially zoned properties that have the same FAR limitations. Right. So traffic impacts. So the EIR acknowledged that there would be a significant and unavoidable traffic impact to the intersection of Fountain and Havenhurst. The EIR also suggested a mitigation measure at that intersection. The City of West Hollywood has made it very clear that they don't intend to accept or enforce that mitigation. That being said, the EIR has always recognized that absent that mitigation measure, that impact will remain significant and unavoidable. Now, to the extent that West Hollywood argues that no feasible mitigation has been explored beyond that, that is not the case. So the city has explored, and then the onus of CEQA is that the city consider all feasible mitigation in order to mitigate that impact. And we felt that after exploring all our options that that was the most appropriate mitigation to mitigate that impact. Now, we did have a conference call with West Hollywood on Monday to kind of explore their concerns. And so we went through them one by one. So while they do not want that mitigation measure, we did pose to them if they had an alternative mitigation measure that they would otherwise propose as an alternate to the one that we are proposing, and they did not. And they did not offer one. In previous correspondence, they mentioned that they had concerns about a crosswalk on Crescent Heights south of the project site. They wanted that to be fully upgraded. We asked them what analysis and what methodology did they use to present that mitigation, that upgrade. What methodology on their end has been conducted in order to warrant the nexus between the project's impacts and that upgrade? They did not offer one, and more or less said that it wasn't a matter of the environmental analysis, but they wanted the applicant to volunteer to that upgrade by virtue of its location and its proximity to that crosswalk and between the project site. To the extent that they wanted full traffic controller upgrades at, I think, 5 intersections along Fountain, we asked them again what analysis was undertaken to determine that the project would result in impacts that would warrant or provide a nexus to those traffic controller upgrades. They said they didn't have one, but they would want the applicant to upgrade those controllers nevertheless. To the extent that the sewer capacity. So we also asked them about that, and they had always presented in their correspondence to us that these were issues related to the inadequacy of the EIR. But when presented for additional evidence to substantiate those claims, they didn't offer any. And to the extent that we, in our EIR, we did acknowledge that the project would use a line. So the project site has an existing lateral connection to the main line within the City of Los Angeles boundaries. That main line then travels down into the City of West Hollywood municipal boundaries. It becomes City of West Hollywood main line. Then it becomes a county main line. And then further down goes into City of West Hollywood and then back again to Los Angeles, where it gets treated eventually at the Hyperion Treatment Plant, which is a city plant. The city of West Hollywood calculated the usage of their line based on their standards for a project that is entirely within the West Hollywood boundaries. They have stated that this is what they would typically apply to a project in their boundaries, and that the fee is based on their parcel or property tax. But because this project is outside of their boundaries, they have no mechanism, in other words, to charge this fee. I want to add that the project site currently does not charge this fee, and it connects to a City of LA main line. So there is no other evidence to suggest that other development projects that border West Hollywood or existing improvements pay this fee to the City of West Hollywood. Now, the City of Los Angeles, the EIR evaluated capacity at the main line, and that capacity, that study, determined that there would be less than significant impact and there's sufficient capacity to serve the project as proposed. Now, the City of West Hollywood stated that they don't have a methodology for determining maintenance or operation or use of that main line because it's a regulatory measure. They charge a fee, and that's how it's established. The City of Los Angeles also has a fee. We have two fees. We have the sewer facilities charge, which is basically a one-time fee that happens at the time there's new construction or a change of use that would otherwise increase flow and capacity to existing sewers. That's for the physical improvements and the physical connections. The City of Los Angeles also has a sewer service charge, which is comparable to the fee that West Hollywood is referring to, which is an ongoing fee that you pay for use of the main line, comparable to that which West Hollywood has. So that's our mechanism for capturing ongoing maintenance, and so therefore we don't also analyze that in the EIR because there's regulatory measures in order for us to capture those fees. That being said, the City of LA has, the City of West Hollywood has failed to provide any nexus or agreement that would require the City of LA or the developer to pay such a fee to the City of West Hollywood. I also want to add that the City of Los Angeles does have a master contract agreement with the County of Los Angeles. For instances when the City of LA connects to a county line. So this project does eventually connect to a county line, and the City of LA charges a surcharge fee of 15% to 85% on top of the regular fee, depending on where that sewage and where that wastewater gets treated. So that's an established agreement that the City of LA has with the city with the County of LA. So absent an agreement between the City of Los Angeles and the City of West Hollywood, there's no mechanism for us to require that the developer pay a fee. Now, the appropriate mechanism, should West Hollywood feel that that's necessary, is to enter into a comparable agreement such that we have with the County of LA in order to establish that mechanism and that surcharge for a fair share agreement.
Let's get out of the sewer.
Okay.
It smells. Anything else, or can we ask a couple questions?
Okay, so historic. The project EIR has always recognized that the loss of the bank building would be significant and an unavoidable impact. There are mitigation measures in the EIR that considered relocation of the bank building. So that's a provision in the EIR and in the staff report in the mitigation measures. Absent the ability to relocate that bank, and absent someone being able to interested in relocating that bank, we do still acknowledge that there's a significant and unavoidable impact relative to historic. Now, while some would argue that you can't approve a project when there's a feasible alternative that would otherwise maintain the bank, that is not true. And in our findings on page 118, I think it's 118, this staff made findings that more or less asserts that under CEQA, decision makers may reject as infeasible alternatives that were identified in the EIR as potentially feasible. Moreover, the courts have concluded that the decision makers can consider and balance all of the factors and reject a historic preservation alternative that will result in discordant architectural appearance, constrain the project's benefit to the pedestrian environment, and reduce the benefits, social, environmental, and economic, that are anticipated from the project. And to the extent that these findings are there, the statement of overriding consideration is your mechanism in order to determine whether or not the benefits outweigh the impacts that are before you and have been disclosed. And I think that concludes our presentation, and we're prepared to answer any questions.
All right. Before you do,
I think I'm closing the public comment at this time, the public hearing on this item, and opening up the conversation to commissioner questions, deliberations, and potentially a motion. If we might bucket our concerns and not have kind of roving, so I would maybe start either with Veronica or Samantha, if they have a concern they want to raise to hear the commission, or if you have questions for clarification, if we could start with the issues. I made a list, and Lucy and the team literally went through my list. So everything from the island, vacation, affordable, FAR, WeHo, height, massing, sidewalk, historic. So that was my list of issues to resolve. I was very satisfied with Lucy's response, but why don't you kick us off, Samantha Millman?
I, too, gave a list to Lucy of my concerns, and she very thoroughly addressed those concerns. So to the extent that you want discussion on each of those concerns, I think it would be helpful to do that, but I have nothing to add to what you...
Yeah, I mean, if it's helpful, I think we could start with the island, and I'll kick it off, and then we could address anyone's thoughts around the island. So the island... What's very clear to me is there's been a conflation between an easement or the loss of people talk about a property right and an easement, because the assumption is being absorbed into the project. What's very clear, again and again, has been repeated by staff as well as the project folks, that it's not being vacated, that it's going to maintain in public control. So that to me was crystal clear. Is there anyone and I know that the other issue is the housing has been identified for that island. It's absurd. There will never be housing built on that island. So I understand there was a call out to another part of the city's, you know, you need to build housing, and we're losing housing. Housing will never be built on this island. So the island, if we could keep our comments, starting on my left with Veronica Padilla, on the, let's call it the Garden of Allah Island. I'm naming a landmass. You heard it here first. Veronica Padilla.
I understand there's a bus stop right in front of the development, and by closing the little island, I believe will make it actually safer for folks that are exiting the bus and trying to cross over. So I really see this as a real big benefit and or multi-benefit for folks, and really completes the project really well. So just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Commissioner Padilla. Mr. Mack, on the island?
I'm fine with the
island. Garden of Allah Island.
The island.
Hi, this is Renee Dake Wilson. I believe that the bus stop, per Metro's request, is moving across the other side of Crescent Heights, the eastbound buses, because that's Metro's desired place to have bus stops. They're now moving them at any opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're moving them on the far side of a traffic signal. So that's going to move over with this development, I believe. And I see staff nodding their head. At the same time, I also believe that removing the additional traffic turn, auto traffic turn, to go southbound on
Crescent
Heights will increase pedestrian safety and move us toward our Vision Zero goal in the city of Los Angeles. So I'm extremely supportive of including that island. I would like to request, I know that a lot of the site plan, this is regarding site plan review, I know that a lot of the site is hardscape because there is, for our pedestrian benefit, a four-story subterranean parking garage. That's an incredible cost and pedestrian benefit for this project, that we're not having four stories above grade parking in this area. It's a significant architectural feature that we're being gifted by that happening. So most of this site cannot be permeable, but I was wondering if with city and private management of this site, if more of this island site outside the proximity of subterranean parking could be permeable.
Right. So the revocation permit process requires the recordation of a covenant and a maintenance agreement at the cost of the developer. So the revocation agreement or the revocation permit and the maintenance agreement basically requires landscaping, requires irrigation, it requires a lot of additional stuff. So it's not going to be a hardscape feature. and is presented in the landscape plan, that would be the substantial conformance determination from planning staff and the city to determine that that project, that traffic island as it gets reconfigured, accommodates what is being proposed. Now, to the extent that there's concern about whether or not the developer would appropriately maintain that site, the maintenance agreement allows the city to cite the developer for instances of...
Lucy, I want to move us along because we have a big day today. Mm-hmm. I just want to say we would like to add a condition to maximize as a feasible permeability, which was her concern. I think we can add that to the covenant or wherever else you think it fits. And let's...
Correct.
For all and the reasons...
Correct. And I don't have a concern about their maintenance of it. I believe that the city has adequate procedures to ensure maintenance of the site, but increasing permeability there is great. Thank you.
On the island, Mr. Ahn?
No, I'm satisfied with staff's response.
Samantha, on the island?
Mr. Millman? I'm satisfied with the response and would like to add parking to one of the things that we flagged.
You bet. Parking. Okay. We are done with the island. We have clarified that our interpretation and understanding is the same as staff, that we are not vacating the island. It's not being used to calculate FAR and other issues that have been proposed. We understand the bus shelter is moving. I think we have a clear understanding of the Garden of Law Island, which will soon become a peninsula if this moves forward. I have affordable housing here. I think the affordable housing piece, Lucy, that you did in staff comments really clarified for me my questions and understanding about the 35% of potential density bonus that they're not using, that that's an 11% set aside for affordable. So I'm satisfied on the affordable, and to understand, to be perfectly clear, it's not workforce, it's affordable, correct?
It's at very low-income households.
Even better, VLI. On the affordable housing, let me start with Commissioner Padilla-Campos, nothing. Commissioner John Mack, on the affordable housing piece?
I'm encouraged. I see this 11% for very low-income as a good beginning, but quite frankly, I personally don't think it's enough. I'm very, very pleased that the developer certainly included the idea of affordable housing, particularly for the very low income, as a component, you know, of the application. However, given the tremendous need and demand, I just wonder if the applicant would be open to considering
80%
increasing.
So I think your question's been heard. Let it marinate for a moment while you guys talk amongst yourselves, and we'll get back to it before we wrap up this topic. I want them to have a chance to reflect and marinate. Commissioner Dake Wilson, on the affordable housing piece, aside from an increase, which we're going to hear back from the applicant in a few moments.
I'm extremely pleased that there's affordable housing to get the density bonus and that the applicant is using that as their mechanism for enhanced site utilization.
Yeah. Commissioner Robert Ahn, on the affordable housing piece, aside from the increase that we're going to get back to the developer on?
Yes, I'm also very pleased to see an affordable housing component to this project. I do agree with Mr. Mack. In the event that there's an opportunity to increase the affordables, I would be in favor of that. However, I also want to keep in mind prior applications as to how we applied these rules and make sure that we are consistent and we're not creating new precedent and creating additional burdens for this particular project. So that's a big concern of mine. I don't know if we want to talk about this now, if it's related enough, or if you have a separate bucket for this, but I do want more clarification on the pro forma.
I think that would be now.
You know, Councilman Rue's office took the extraordinary step of creating, of providing their own pro forma. And I just need additional detailed explanations from either our staff or, you know, whoever is most appropriate to give us a little bit more substantive feedback as far as the appropriateness of the pro forma.
Why don't we start with staff and then ask the applicant to add any detail?
Okay. So the pro forma is codified in our code for instances where the developer is seeking an off-menu incentive. I will add that the affordable housing guidelines under state law were modified, not requiring that pro forma, but nevertheless, the Department of City Planning has the applicant prepare a pro forma in order to demonstrate that the waivers are necessary to provide the affordable housing units. Now, on top of that, in order to provide additional analysis, the City of Los Angeles also requires that that a third-party review be prepared to more or less verify that the information contained in the proforma is accurate and to more or less conclude that the representations in that proforma are also accurate. So I must add, I have not had a chance to review the proforma prepared by the council office because it was provided today, so I can't go into detail as to what that proforma actually concludes.
Let's hear from the applicant on just specific to the proforma, if you would, good sir. The one that was prepared by the staff and the department and submitted, and if you have thoughts, I don't know if you've seen the one from Councilman Rue's office.
Edgar Kaladin with Mayor Brown. I am certainly not smart enough to talk about dollars or percentages. I just want to reiterate what Ms. Ibarra just said. We did prepare a pro forma for the project. The city has a list of approved third-party reviewers. One of those reviewers reviewed the fiscal study, the analysis, and concurred with the conclusions. We have the gentleman who prepared the analysis here if there are specific dollars and cents questions.
I think the dollar and cents question that Councilman Rue's office raises is how much is enough from a profit perspective, right? I mean, if I was to boil it down, it's X percent versus Y percent. I think the applicant presented a performer that said X percent, and Councilman Rue's office, it says a little bit different. It says Y percent, and the difference is about 3 percentage points. You prepared it? Did you want to address us with anything aside from as long as it's on topic to this point of the performer, sir?
My name is Paul Silverin with the firm of HRNA Advisors. We're an economic development, real estate advisory, and public policy consulting firm. We have prepared density bonus feasibility analyses on a number of projects, several of which I believe you've reviewed before, and we prepared the analysis of this project for the applicant, which was, as you've heard, independently peer-reviewed by another consultant. So I don't think there's any question about the analysis that we prepared, which was a comparison between a 1.0 FAR project that was a mixture of commercial and affordable housing units and the 3.0 FAR project under two alternative scenarios, the original project and the Geary Partners alternative. And what that analysis clearly demonstrates is that in order to include 28 affordable housing units in the development, that the 1.0 FAR development standards are insufficient from a financial feasibility perspective, but that with a 3.0 FAR set of development standards, the project would be feasible. During your first break this morning, we did get a copy of a document that apparently was prepared for the council office. We don't know who prepared it, and it appears to be an incomplete package because there are blank pages and, you know, only partial information. But from what we can determine from a brief review of it, it appears to be an analysis that tried to duplicate the analysis that we prepared for the proposed project, the Alternative 9, and then make certain changes to some of the assumptions. The only scenario that appears to be complete, because several pages in the package we received are blank, is a scenario that is for a 2.5 FAR version of the Geary Partners project, presumably, with 190 units and 20 affordable. So it decreases the total number of dwelling units by 59, and it decreases the number of very low-income units by 8. And then at the top of the page, it purports to report that the developer profit return is 12.48%. However, when you look at the actual second page of the analysis where the numbers are, that's not at all what it concludes. What it concludes is that there's only a 5.2% return on total development cost for the income-producing uses and a 10.4% return profit margin. Both of those metrics are well below the minimum feasibility thresholds that we have used in all the analysis we have prepared for other projects, including this one, and have been confirmed by independent third-party review as being supportable. So contrary to what this particular scenario suggests on its first page, the numbers on the second
page
tell the opposite story.
We're picking up what you're putting down. It's heavy, but we got it. So let's let that marinate for a moment, if that's all right with you. I think what you're hearing is that there's a disagreement with both process and conclusion of FAR. One, on the one hand, the city has reviewed it through third party, et cetera, et cetera. So on the other hand, we've recently received something from council office which comes to a different conclusion. I think that's very clear. Mm-hmm. And I think the commissioners are going to have to weigh both of those. But why don't we come back to that FAR question and go to Samantha on the affordable housing. Then we're going to go back to the percentage. And then I will go back to the this question as well. Commissioner Millman?
Yes, Commissioner Millman, I have nothing to add on the affordable housing piece. With regard to the pro forma, my concern looking at it is that the price per unit per space as far as construction, or do you want to talk about this?
I don't mind, but we can't hear you. I don't know why your mic's not picking that up. I'm so sorry.
I will borrow Robert's. My concern is that there is a $331 per square foot construction cost associated on both the project as proposed as well as the reduced number of units. And as we know in the construction industry, is that the larger the project is, the price per square foot of construction goes down. So to keep that number stable across the two scenarios is actually, I think, inaccurate, just based on my experience.
So if I could just connect that by bridge to the conversation from my understanding and see if we're on the same page. What you're suggesting then is that the pro forma we reviewed has X price per square foot for construction. That price has been carried over to a smaller project, and that is a flaw in the recently submitted pro forma, in your opinion. We don't have to agree with that. I just want everyone to understand that. Veronica Padilla, back to you on the affordable housing piece.
Sorry, I know you not at all on me, but I'm still getting used to when I can make the comment.
Like whenever you want. Things.
But, you know, I can't wait to hear from the developer to see if there's any opportunities to increase the number of affordable units. But I will say that when I saw 28, it made me smile. I don't think we've seen this this number for a while in many of the developments that I've heard since joining the commission in January. So I'm very pleased to see that, and to have it on site too is pretty awesome, and have our community members, mm-hmm. our families be part and live in this awesome development. So just want to kind of throw that out there.
I appreciate it, and thank you for calling back attention. That's an important point. So we've discussed for a moment. We've all had a say on affordable housing. I think I'd like to reverse order a little bit on the two things that I said we'd come back to. Instead of going to the percentage of affordable housing, which I think will be impacted, Mr. Mack, depends on what interpretation of the FAR that we have. So you're not going to necessarily get a higher number if we push forward a smaller project. So back to you on the FAR. Is there any concluding thoughts you had? I think we understand the nexus of debate and conversation here. I don't think we can litigate it. I think people can form their own opinions based on the information we've already heard. But did you have anything follow up?
Not at the moment. We'll let it sink in.
All right. And I'll say to, I apologize for interrupting, Sarah Dussault, we'll come back to this and give you a chance to respond towards the end, because I want to give you a chance to hear a couple of the different things that come up, because I'd like to have robust council input. And if I might, let's keep you in the parking lot till the very end, because I think the number of affordable units is going to depend on a lot of other things. So we'll come back to it. But if we shrink the project, if we lower the height of the project, if we do all these things, which we still have to get through, the number will be determined. I think we have to put the cart behind the horse.
As long as I'm still in the parking lot.
Listen, you're in it to win it, Mr. Mack. All right. So we've wrestled a little bit with affordable. My follow-up, I think we have number and FAR, and we'll come back to that both. If we might talk for a second about West Hollywood, I would like to delineate the two of them. I think I completely agree with the staff's determination on the sewer. I don't know that they gave a very clear explanation. The city of West Hollywood gave a very clear perspective. Are there questions, not comments, but questions about sewer, as we have four other projects to hear today? Are there questions about the sewer? I think we have a general consensus that staff got that one right. The other issue from our sister city, West Hollywood, is the unmitigatable impact at Havenhurst and Fountain. I would say that's a selective unmitigatable impact, and I'm okay with the staff's determination. West Hollywood themselves are choosing not to put a light there. If they did, it would be mitigated. I'm very comfortable with that. I don't think we need to wrestle with this too much. Is there any other questions on the light at Havenhurst? Okay. I was very comfortable with the back and forth, and I appreciate the perspective of our sister city, but I do think our staff got that one right. I think we also heard about the sidewalk width, that was a grandfathered vesting right. I understand that. That was clear. We may not agree with it, but that is an option that they can choose. We can choose to do something different. I think we'll just have to decide that when we have a motion. Renee, you wanted to talk about parking, and I wanted to make sure we got to that. So just so we know what I'm going to look at again, I have historic for us to have a little discussion or as much discussion as we want, and parking. And then I want to revisit our parking lot underneath the Garden of All Island. Renee Dick Wilson on parking.
Oh, Samantha Millman brought that up, and I'm going to let her say something that I bet I'm going to say.
So I know that this this project is overparked, and I am wondering if the applicant can come up and tell us why.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Why did you choose to overpark or require or provide more than required parking in this project?
Frankly, in response to community concerns. When the original project was proposed and we started doing our outreach, you know, the 25,000 doors, the over 100 community meetings, we heard concerns, and we really tried to address every single one of them, and parking was one. So we,
Going
subtraining, did it.
The demands of the community.
I appreciate that the community was responded to. I think, you know, we have a double-edged sword because community wants parking spaces. Community does not want traffic, more parking spaces, more cars, more traffic. We weigh these things, so that's just something for the community in general to think about.
Maybe they're all EV, Samantha. Or
so can I can I provide numbers to your overparking and then let you continue? Is that the required parking from the staff report is 700 spaces. That's 311 residential required spaces and 389 commercial required spaces. Those are reduced because of parking option one through the density bonus. Provided are 326 residential required spaces and 494 commercial required spaces. So you have a difference of 700 required to 820 provided. They're not just overparked, they're massively overparked.
So, Samantha, do we want to let this marinate for a moment, or do you want to make a suggestion as to the parking?
I am going to make a suggestion because while other commissioners may want to fiddle around with the number of parking spaces, I do respect that this is something the community asked for and it was provided. However, I would like to see that the parking is uncoupled so that, and just for the unbundled rather, so to explain to the people in the audience, what that means is you don't automatically get a parking space with your apartment unit. If you want to park your car there, then you purchase your parking space with your unit. And perhaps there are people who don't have cars who will not need a parking space, and therefore it also makes the units themselves less expensive.
Can I add one caveat, Samantha Millman? I would hate for the affordable to have to pay for parking if they need it.
I 100% agree.
Okay.
If we may. So
Lucy Ibarra.
Department of City Planning staff, we prepared a letter dated today that offers a condition of approval to read that the market rate units shall be unbundled parking. And unbundled parking separates the cost of purchasing or renting parking space from the cost of the purchase of renting or dwelling unit. So that's an existing condition that we're proposing as part of your action today to reflect your
Thank concern. You. Lucy, do they have sufficient electric vehicle parking? Or how? Let me ask that differently. How much do they have? 100% did I hear?
20%.
20%
of the
plug it in today or then?
Just the wiring.
Just the wiring.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do better than that. That's going to end up in our motion. Go ahead, Edgar. Do you have thoughts? 20% currently provided of the 800?
20% plugged in. And absolutely support Commissioner Millman's comment about unbundling the market rate parking.
Thank you. Okay. So we talked about parking. I think it does relate to Renee's point about the island. I don't know where the parking ends underneath, but I'm sure it's further in towards the property line. But I think the island and the permeability and the walkability all kind of form this beautiful transportation nodule that this property will do. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And I do agree to Renee's point, and we'll get back to it, Renee, absolutely. You know, if you build it, they will come. So I'm a little dismayed. At the one hand, a lot of the community people are saying the concerns they have, and on the other hand, they're kind of demanding of developers. So it's inconsistent, but that's not atypical. So let's let that marinate for a moment. If we can talk about... That's all the items I have. I want to get back to the FAR point, unless there's a headline that we haven't discussed yet. Renee Dick Wilson.
I just want to continue to talk about mobility for a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I would propose that we should reduce the amount of provided parking. I think that being over 10%. You're about 20% overparked on this project. I would propose reducing that number to 10% overparked, or reducing the overparked number by half would be my proposal.
Say that latter part again.
So if you have 700 spaces required, that there and there are 820 spaces provided in the project, that we instead go to 760. That we go, it's approximately 10%. I'm just doing math off the top of my head. So I'm saying reduce the overparking by half, which still accommodates some of the neighbors' concerns. I know that there are, like the House of Blues nearby, other places, there are significant neighborhood concerns. Unbundling the parking mm-hmm. and providing fewer spaces will help with a significant amount of the transportation problems, as well as reducing parking for those requirements. I also want to talk about
can we talk about that for a quick second?
Sure.
And then we'll get back to the other mobility conversation.
Sure.
You know, I think we're on the fence. So I think we want to be respectful of the community and the needs that they have and that they've identified in some respects. On the other hand, I think Renee has been a cheerleader and an advocate on this body for curing our addiction to overparking. So staff, do you have a headline response, or Edgar, do you have a thought? And then, of course, Councilman's office, when we get you up to talk about all of these headlines, we'll hear your thoughts as well. Edgar.
We want to confirm the code calculation. That being said, we would be comfortable with a condition of approval limiting our parking to code plus a 10% increase, which I believe is what Commissioner Dake Wilson was suggesting.
I'm fine with that sort of suggestion, sure.
Okay. And let's revisit that as we potentially look at a motion later. So it's code plus 10% over parking, which does ameliorate some of the neighborhood concerns, but at the same time does not so dramatically. Renee Dake Wilson.
The 2010 bike plan calls for a Class 2 bike lane on Sunset Boulevard. I know I've lived in West Hollywood and tried to bike that, I've biked that hill successfully. But I know that's a significant vertical challenge, biking up and down Crescent Heights and into Laurel Canyon. But across Sunset Boulevard, I really believe that's an opportunity and is called out in the Backbone Bicycling Network as an access point. I was wondering if you have any word about when that bike lane is going to be built and implementation of the bike lane.
I'm Will Amborn, Department of City Planning staff. So implementation of the individual facilities depends on a lot of variables, including, you know, funding and other such things. Our impression from LADOT is that there are not any immediate plans in the near future to implement this particular bike lane, although that is, of course, subject to change, considering all of those other variables.
Okay. So I'd like to call out, this is a way to highlight mm-hmm. that Sunset Boulevard is not just for cars, it's also for pedestrians, transit riders, bicycle riders. We need to highlight those other uses. I want to talk about the plaza, and this gets into site plan review. So when we're talking about mobility, I think it's kind of interesting. If you can show, can you change the PowerPoint to show one of the drawings of the plaza? I want to hear from the applicant. Excuse me? Oh, sorry, you're checking out. Okay. I want to hear from the applicant a little bit about the openness of the plaza. I think it's really interesting the grade changes across the site, that Sunset Boulevard's really the high point. The site slopes east to west a little bit, but north to south significantly. And as such, it has really interesting sidewalk access into the central plaza. I want to make sure that we don't... is the plaza open at all hours of the day to the public?
Why don't you talk to us about the plaza? And I think the architect can handle it. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hello.
Say your name again.
Anand Devarajan with Geary Partners.
Hi, Anand.
Basically, the way we designed the plaza and the access was to try to make it as accessible as possible to the public. I think based upon the comments from our client, they want to keep it open as much as possible. I think open all hours of the day. The overall site configuration is designed that the plaza is at kind of the midpoint of the site along Sunset. So there's, I think it's about 8 feet delta from one end to the other.
Yeah.
So at the middle point access, mid-block, it's at zero. And then you have a series of steps and a disabled ramp, which allows you accessibility from the west, and a disabled ramp and steps which have accessibility from the east. Because of the significant slope to the south, we use that as an opportunity to get in the parking connections into the lower levels of the building without having to use the parking ramps to cut up the ground floor plate of the project.
I appreciate all of that. I think that was an excellent design solution. Having the way, at least in the model, that the ramp goes diagonally across the stairs at the corners is a very elegant and integrated solution for the disabled to have active transportation as part of our healthy choices being made in our lives. I'd like to make sure that we don't, also about that plaza, I'm very glad to hear that it's open and is going to be remain open at all times, because I think that's an important part of Sunset Boulevard, that it is a public space. It is a gathering space. I believe this project is an icon of the beginning of the Sunset Strip and is going to be a gathering space with the commercial uses on the ground floor. And part of the mixed-use character of the project, I think, is one of the great benefits of it. So as an aside there, I want to make sure that we don't condition there's that sunken plaza in the middle. If that goes away, I'm okay with it. I just want to make sure. If that stays, I'm okay with it. But I want to make sure. Oftentimes, we are pretty hard at retaining existing conditions presented at commission, and I'm okay if that sunken plaza stays or goes. But I think there's a way of that plaza is a really interesting architectural feature that provides you a little bit of privacy in the middle of the site and a public gathering space, but still openness and several points of access. So I'm satisfied with that.
Thank you.
And I think that comes, sorry, I'm getting some of my alternate points in. You don't have to respond. But I think that plaza is available because of the change in massing of the site, that there are towers and lower buildings on the site is what allows this site to have visual transparency. And so you have areas of higher massing and therefore taller height. This pedestrian access is allowed because of that and this pedestrian gathering space. So these are all integrated. And for that reason, I am supportive of this added height. And I think it's handled very well with iconic architecture. I'm an architectural tourist and went to Germany to see Frank Gehry building this last week. You know, there's a group of us crazy people that do stuff like that. This will be a building that will draw people to Los Angeles like Ginger and Fred. And it's going to be something that, because of this pedestrian access, it enhances the architecture of the building. So that's all.
Well said. We are coming close to a conclusion. I have a couple things I want to do to revisit, and then I also want to hear from the council office if they want to add any closing thoughts as well. I want to talk about the historic, but before we do, you know, Mr. Mack, and I don't want a soliloquy, I want an answer. Does the developer have an appetite for increased affordable housing in this project? The number right now is 11%. I would put on the table 15% of the currently proposed project. Mr. Mack, that's what I'm going to propose. It's an increased number. Let's see what they say. Why don't you guys marry down on that? Why don't we talk about historic for a minute? So, Renee, on historic, I thought the staff did an excellent job explaining both the nature of the project, the nature of the currently existing structure, the law as it stands, our ability to look at the law and make a different conclusion based on the sum of the information, data, and requirements. I don't want to revisit all that, Lucy, or folks, if you want to. Of course, it's our commission. But if there's questions to elucidate, I think I understand where the staff made their conclusion and recommendation. If there's clarifying questions, great. Or if you want to add additional information, Samantha Millman, starting with you, I think you're good. Commissioner Ahn on the historic?
On historic, no, not at the moment.
Commissioner Dake Wilson?
Yeah, this is Renee Dake Wilson. The Cultural Heritage Commission will have an opportunity to weigh in on this project, unfortunately, just after this. I think it's very interesting that the Garden of Allah was removed to make the bank. An historic feature was removed to make this bank. We're about to do that again. I'm I'm interested in hearing the Cultural Heritage Commission weigh in, but I also think that the response of having an architecturally significant building put in place of a architecturally significant landmark is very worth weighing and valuable.
Thank you. On the historic, Commissioner Mack or Commissioner Padilla-Comp? No? Excellent. So they're going to get back to us on the affordable. At this time, Sarah, I'd love to hear any of your thoughts. I mean, I know you've shared a lot with us today, and your input has been tremendous. The councilman's letters, the pro forma work. Any closing thoughts as we kind of come towards a decision here?
Sure. Well, first of all, on the pro forma work, I apologize. Somehow the copy you got is not printed out correctly. So, Samantha, your comment, it's not accurate in what I have. But we actually wanted you to rely on the pro forma they submitted. What we were discussing is we didn't change their numbers. In fact, we looked at their numbers and added to their costs and actually estimated exactly what they were doing would maybe be a lower return of 14.96%. But the point is, that's still a lot above 12.5. So our question is, we'd like to see this analysis in this project and in future projects. And I go back to Commissioner Ahn's comment about, you know, what is the precedent? What's the precedent here? What's the precedent you guys have been doing in the past? This clearly, to us, dictates either more affordable or some sort of mixing and mashing of the height, the FAR, and the parking. You guys have just raised the parking issue. Well, that's cost. You just reduced their cost substantially just now. So where is that money going? Why are we giving it to them? I'm confused. So I think there needs to be an analysis that actually has all of these things in at once. The planning staff mentioned on FAR a couple of nearby buildings that have 3-to-1. They have height limits. I think they're 30 feet. So it's completely different. That's apples and oranges. We're looking at how do you come up with the best product possible. And completely agree with you, Commissioner, about the fact that this, I mean, people will travel far and wide. That may be why it's cool that they're a little bit overparked, to be honest. But people will travel far and wide to see this. And this is an amazing idea that we're bringing here. But the council member isn't questioning that. What he's questioning is, what's the right balance that we're getting? Because they went this route. They said, we want to go affordable. Yes, awesome, great. But what's the balance of what they're providing in terms of the affordability and what we're giving them? That's all we're asking. And you can rely on their numbers. Don't, you know, look, we're not experts at this. We shouldn't have had to do it, quite honestly. But you can rely on what they have submitted and question it and say, you know what, market standard 12.5. I'm a little concerned here. And quite honestly, I think they were very generous with their costs. Maybe that's appropriate. But I don't think they were generous enough with their potential income.
All right. No.
That's plenty. Thank you guys for your time, and we really appreciate your work.
Thank you, Sarah. And thank you to David Brew for your – I feel like you've done as much work on this project as staff has. Come on up, Edgar. Edgar, I don't want to relitigate everything. I want to just know.
I don't want to litigate anything.
Yeah, says the lawyer. So what I'm interested in is the parking, and that's where I was going, by the way, with the parking reduction, is I think a mild increase in the affordable housing would help us get to a place that we could have a project that we can get behind. I think Mr. Mack's point is appropriate. That being said, you have proposed something. Staff has made a recommendation. So what are your thoughts around increasing 11% to 15% as proposed, which would be an increase in a certain number of units that someone could do the math on?
So I just want to, one, address the cost reduction for the parking. It is not a cost reduction. The only time there is a cost reduction is if you don't have to go down an extra level. We still have to do the same grading, same amount of work. So there is not going to be a cost saving by reducing the parking spaces. One of the things we heard a lot today was diverse housing in a diverse community in a diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
Our applicants are 100% on board with that, assuming that the project stays as proposed, as recommended by staff. We would be happy to bump the affordable housing from 11 to 15%, which is in excess of state law.
Terrific.
But the 4% being a workforce housing.
That's what I was going to go to.
Yes.
John, I would like to see that. Is that sufficient to you? I think you've raised the point.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, that was going to be my other suggestion. If, for example, they didn't think you could go all the way with very low income.
I like to see the mix, too. I think they spoke.
The workforce, I think the idea of the workforce housing is a good
one. It was the poem of the merging city. So we have the very low, we have the very high, and we have the people in the middle. So it's a beautiful
project. We'll talk about, you know, housing for police officers, teachers, fire.
You and the police, John Mack. 30 years later. All right. So I think that's a wonderful, I'll call it a give for brevity. It also, I think, goes a longer way towards some of the density question. Now it's squeezing that density, that height, and that massing. So I think we have a good project. I would like to propose a motion at this point, but I would like to say something first. I'm from this neighborhood. I've lived in this neighborhood. I'm supportive of this project. I personally feel it fits within the context of it. I look at West Hollywood from the CIM project to the House of Blues project to the Mondrian to the DGA to the five-story red brick and yellow building, which is a visual problem. I just think this fits within the neighborhood that I used to live in and loved. I appreciate everything that's been said, but I do think this is a place in Los Angeles for elegant density and beautiful design. That being said, I also am proud of this commission for, I think, getting a better project through inquiry and dialogue with the council office and the neighbors. I want to thank Sarah Dussault in particular and Councilman Rue's office for real advocacy on behalf of your constituents and the public for coming out today on this important project. I'm going to make a motion, and I'm going to need support on making that motion to make sure that I've encapsulated everything, so I'd appreciate Renee Dick Wilson's going to make the motion. Why don't we have that?
Okay, I'd like to recommend staff's recommended options. Do you want to give me your notes, too? I think I have it all down. I want to include staff's recommended actions as modified today as well with their additional letter from today. I'd like to add a condition to maximize permeability at the site outside the perimeter of...
I apologize. A point of order. We need to deal with the appeals first before we make a motion to approve the project. So my apologies, Renee. That was on
me. That's
okay. So why don't we do that?
Okay. Is this just a motion on item 6? Okay. On item 6, I'm going to make a motion separately.
Please.
I'm going to find that the City Planning Commission has reviewed and considered the information contained in the EIR, ENV 2013-2552 EIR, in its determination at the proposed project, and that the affirm that the EIR was certified by the advisory agency on June 23, 2016, and that the EIR has was prepared in compliance with CEQA and reflects the independent judgment of the lead agency, and adopt the EIR for use in reviewing the project. The City Planning Commission actions confirm that the Deputy Advisory Agency certified the EIR has been prepared in compliance with CEQA and reflects the city's independent judgment and analysis, adopted the statement of overriding considerations setting forth the reasons and benefits of adopting the EIR with full knowledge that significant impacts may occur, adopted the mitigation measures and the mitigation monitoring program, adopted the related findings, deny in part and grant in part the appeals of VTT 72370CN, approving the project as proposed and to allow the technical corrections requested by staff, and to modify the findings as necessary to reflect those changes.
I second that motion, and this is David Ambrose. James, we have a first and second on Renee Dake Wilson's motion. Will you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Dake Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose.
Yes.
Commissioner Ahn.
Yes.
Commissioner Mack.
Yes.
Commissioner Millman.
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla Campos.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Renee, do you have another motion?
Oh, I do. Item number 7, CPC 2013-2551, Master CUP Density Bonus Site Plan Review. I'm going to find that the City Planning Commission has reviewed and considered the information contained in the EIR, ENV 2013-2552 EIR, in its determination of the proposed project, and affirm that the EIR was certified by the advisory agency on June 23, 2016, and that the EIR was prepared in compliance with CEQA and reflects the independent judgment of the lead agency, and adopt the EIR for use in reviewing the approved project. The City Planning Commission actions confirm that the Deputy Advisory Agency certified the EIR has been prepared in compliance with CEQA and reflects independent judgment and analysis, adopted the statement of overriding considerations setting forth the reasons and benefits of adopting the EIR with full knowledge that significant impacts may occur, adopted the mitigation measures mitigation monitoring program, adopted the related environmental findings, approve a master conditional use to permit the sale and or dispensing of a full line of alcoholic beverages for on-site consumption in conjunction with four restaurant/dining uses, and the sale of a full line of alcoholic beverages for off-site consumption in conjunction with a grocery store. Approve a density bonus setting aside 11% restricted to very low-income households and an additional 4% of workforce housing units. Utilization of the density bonus incentive parking option 1 and 2 off-menu affordable housing units or housing incentives as follows. An off-menu incentive to allow the lot area, including any land to be set aside for street purposes, to be included in calculating the maximum allowable floor area, and B, an off-menu incentive to allow a 3-to-1 FAR for a housing development project in which 50% of the commercially zoned parcel is located within 1,560 feet of a transit stop in lieu of the 1,500-foot distance specified in the code. Approved site plan review for a mixed-use development with 249 dwelling units and 65,000 square feet of commercial floor area, and direct staff to make the requested technical corrections and to modify the findings as necessary to reflect the commission actions, including staff's recommended actions, which may not have been included in my previous motion, to maximize permeability at the site, to unbundle the parking for the market rate units, to decrease the parking spaces provided to code plus 10%, to require provision of 20% electrical vehicle chargers, and as I mentioned earlier, to provide 15% of affordable housing with the previously mentioned 11% VLI, very low income units, plus an additional 4% workforce housing.
David Ambrose the second. Is there any discussion or clarifications? Lucy?
I just want to point out that the City Attorney's Office asked us to make a correction to page F106, so I just want to make sure that that's
Please read that correction.
It's to reference CEQA Guidelines 15091A3 in lieu of 6, and to reference Public Resources Code 21081A3, and then to further clarify the condition relative to FAR and the existing conditions of approval to clarify that the 3-to-1 FAR was approved.
I will accept that friendly amendment.
I, too, as the second, David Ambrose, accept that amendment and clarification. James, we have a first and second. Will you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Dake Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose.
Yes.
Commissioner Ahn.
Yes.
Commissioner Mack.
Yes.
Commissioner Millman.
Yes.
Commissioner Padilla-Campos.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. I would ask all of our friends to leave expeditiously. We have a lot more items to hear, so please take your conversations outside and be as little disruptive as possible. Which, if you need to move your monuments, maybe you could leave those till we're done with our hearing. Why don't we get going on the next item on